No kissing.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Sunday, January 5th, 2025. This year, award-winning Gila Nation Media Assassination, episode 1727.
This is No Agenda.
Wearing shades for the glowies and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're fighting anti-gravity machines, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
I think the exact term was gravitic.
It was gravit something or other.
Anti-gravitic machine. Yeah. Oh, man. I spent some time on this because I noticed that everyone's going crazy. Yeah.
I expected you to, so I did nothing.
I know. I saw, wait a minute, John has absolutely zero on any of this. Okay. No, you have a backgrounder for the Vegas guy, which I'll call for that in a moment.
Yes, the backgrounder. Yeah, you can play that.
We'll do that in a minute.
By the way, the backgrounder I think really sums it up well.
But I want to start with New Orleans because everyone's kind of gone off to the anti-gravitic. I'm sure that's not intentional at all.
I love it. But before you go on, you start anything. I will say this: way before we started doing the show, we had a guy on Silicon Spin once who was busted for something or other. And he quit his. He was a famous online guy, and this was in like '96.
You don't remember who it is? I'm already disappointed.
No, I could look him up, but he's '97. He was very kind of semi famous, and he quit his company because he'd seen aliens.
Wasn't that the guy who later became the Purple Tracksuit Clan?
I don't know. Maybe no. That purple tracksuit guy is different. That was an old guy.
Another good one.
And so this guy and I grilled him about it. And I said, "You actually afterwards?" And he said, "Well, he was kind of in a dream state when he saw the aliens and all the rest of it, but he did have one thing he was absolutely convinced of." And then I've heard this since then. Over, and I probably heard it before then, over and over and over again, is that they've got the anti-gravity technology and it's coming out next week. They're going to reveal it next week. This has been decades now. Yeah. And the anti-gravity stuff. Yeah. No. Don't kid yourself, John.
I know. And this
next week.
I mean, I was all on that tip for about 10 years on this show. And then I gave up on it because I couldn't last anymore.
Where is it?
And that was known as second half of show. So we'll bring in a little bit of second half of show at the start of this show because this is just everyone's going off the rails on this. And there's a number of things that need to be deconstructed and need to be evaluated as to what is really happening. And I need to say everything that is going on right now is related to the new administration and also confirmation hearings. And we'll start with New Orleans. It was right on schedule as a 6-week cycle. I am pretty convinced that the narrative was written right away for us, even though that's not exactly what happened. And we know the FBI has a 6-week cycle. They've always employed this in order to assure funding. Now, I believe they deployed a 6-week cycle event, which usually exists of the FBI confidential informants, people talking to somebody, usually some brother who's already a little bit weak. Maybe he's changed his meds, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, you're ISIS now. And here's some bombs in coolers or something like that. So let's start with, we have a little more information than we had. First of all, it's of course horrible. It's unclear if it's 14 or 15 people died. From this guy driving an F-150 Lightning, the EV truck, which is completely, I think that's just a happy coincidence that a lot of people just, oh, that's so cool that we didn't even plan that, guys. Good work. But here's,
there's one other little element to this is that this guy and also the Vegas guy, they rented from this online
Turo, and
nobody talks about this. Turo doesn't have cars.
No, you rent from somebody else.
It's a B&B. It's an Airbnb. Yeah. You're using somebody else's car. No one has ever discussed.
That was a lot of the discussion early on until you know other stuff started popping up.
Never heard who the owner of that Tesla car was. I mean,
no, we don't know that. We don't know that. We just know they were from the same app.
No, I know that. Yeah, but I know. But it seems to me that the guy who owned the Cybertruck more than the Lightning.
Yes. Now you make a good point.
That poor bastard.
Yeah. Does Turo insure you for that? You got a new Cybertruck?
And does anybody talk to these people and say, hey, what do you think about
Why
your truck?
Why do that? No.
Too
Why
much
do that?
Journalism involved. You actually have to track the guy down and ask him, how do you feel about your truck being blown up by some maniac? You going to use the service anymore? This seems to me that's the first thing I'd ask.
Excellent point. You're right. Excellent point. I've not seen any reporting on that angle other than I think it's a China-based app. I could be wrong.
They're not running through China, but
who knows?
Who knows? They don't tell us anything.
So I wish I could show you visuals with this. It's a rather short clip, but at least we'll get a little background on what this guy was actually doing.
On that deadly attack in New Orleans in the French Quarter tonight, the FBI has put out new images of the suspect just hours before the attack. He is seen placing coolers containing explosive devices along Bourbon Street. Now, while Bourbon Street is reopened tonight, there are new security bollards in place. Also, we have learned new details about the victims that the suspect ran down early on New Year's Day. And breaking tonight, ABC News has just learned that the FBI and Department of Homeland Security are warning of potential copycat attacks using vehicles to inflict mass casualties. It is a warning that has been sent to the nation's 18,000 law enforcement agencies. The warning sent out out of an abundance of caution.
All right. So it's always good to add a little breaking news, copycats. Now, what you saw and what you didn't see, of course, in this video from this report is you see the guy, he's in completely different clothes. So apparently he changed clothes into camos before he got into the truck. But he already placed these coolers in different parts of the French Quarter. We're just going to presume it was mainly on Bourbon Street, but we don't even know that. And so the guy was planning to blow stuff up. So let's take it all into account here. We've got the coolers. We've got his ISIS flag. You know, the whole thing is pretty well set up. It's all the elements that they really love over there at the FBI for this type of operation. But then you see video of this guy driving down Bourbon Street. But what you don't see is him trying to hit people. You see him in a straight line. People are jumping out of the way. He could have, if he wanted to hit people, he would have swerved a little bit and he could have gotten an extra 5 body count.
So, yeah, he could have gotten that poor redhead.
Exactly. You saw it. Exactly. So
yeah, that showed her a million times. And by the way, why wasn't she interviewed?
Please. Please. Okay. Why does this show even exist? I mean, it's all,
you're right. Yeah. If all the things I complain about actually worked, we wouldn't be doing this show because these guys wouldn't be screwing up their jobs.
So it's very apparent that the guy was intending to detonate these coolers. We have not heard anything about the explosives. We don't know if they actually worked or, you know, we just don't know anything about them. There's no reporting on that. But yep. then to top it off, we get a New York Post reporter walking right into his apartment in, I think, Houston, and the door's busted down and she's walking in her yoga pants. A very bizarre scene this is, and the whole place, it's kind of left intact. Listen to this.
We are here inside the New Orleans terrorist home. You can see that it's been clearly destroyed, the door at least, from the FBI raid yesterday. But if we walk through the home, we see some signs of what he was up to. He had this work area here. Lots of different chemicals.
You literally see workbenches with chemicals. Yes. I mean, the whole
thing.
I want to give you credit for that. This is the only, if I was going to get a clip, this is the clip I'd get because there's one anomaly in this clip.
Mm-hmm.
And the clip is, you probably saw another one.
We'll play it, and then you'll tell me what you saw as the anomaly.
And different electronics. This is, again, a work setup. Left receipts, just very unkempt in here. If we go over here, actually, you can see the Department of Justice documents here, the search warrant, and the property that they recorded here, which seems to be a lot of chemicals.
So literally there on the kitchen island are two documents neatly placed with the search warrant and an entire list of everything they found, but apparently didn't take. Everything is just there, and she can just walk right in. This to me means that this was all meant to be discovered, meant to be found, and clearly this was supposed to be a bomb scare, and it went wrong, as often does. Maybe this guy got spooked. He thought something different was happened, so he hangs a right under Bourbon Street. I don't think he was intending to mow down anybody at all, but he just wanted to get out of there. Something went awry, and he decided to hoof it and made that screeching right-hand turn. I don't think he was intending to mow people down, as has been constantly reported. They're not talking about the bombs. They're only talking about mowing people down. Breaking news, mowing people down. What was the anomaly you saw?
At the beginning of it, this was the rental place he had in New Orleans.
Oh, I thought it was the one he had in Houston. I could be.
That's what I thought too. But if you listen to the very beginning of her clip, she says this is the place in New Orleans.
Well, let me listen. I'm not so sure about that.
We are here inside the New Orleans Terrace home.
No, she says the New Orleans Terrace home. I think it was in Houston.
Because she said, okay, then the anomaly does. I know what you're, in other words, what you're saying, and which is probably right, because it's the only thing that makes sense. We're in the New Orleans terrorist home in Houston. She never says that.
Well, at the end, she does talk about him leaving.
Yeah, he left. That was the anomaly. When she left, she says, well, now he's headed to New Orleans to get a place. So, okay, the whole thing is very phony. It's all staged.
It's phony. It's completely phony. Yes, and it went wrong, horribly wrong. And maybe John Kennedy will stay on top of it. Maybe not.
And by the way, where's the tape? Where's the crime scene tape? She wanders in. The door's wide open. Nobody's fixed the door.
Exactly.
This is bull crap.
Mm-hmm.
And Kennedy's full of crap, too. He's probably read in. He almost seems like he is.
We got a note from one of our law enforcement officers, boots on the ground. We shall share, and then we'll move on. I'm a law enforcement officer in a large city in the Southeast with 10 plus years of LE experience. I'm also an FBI task force officer, so I have access to some top secret FBI resources and information. Most of the work I do is related to criminal gangs. This producer, by the way, is known to us, and I trust him. Just got off a conference call with the FBI that was open to partner law enforcement agencies. There are about 5,000 law enforcement on the call. The call opened with FBI Director Chris Wray and Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas. The call then went on to the FBI Counterterrorism Director to provide details and updates on the investigation in New Orleans and Las Vegas. Now, remember, you just heard breaking news, copycats. Here are some takeaways from the call. Everyone was adamant that each incident was a solo undertaking, i.e. lone wolf. Adamant about that. Okay, so that's the news is barely starting to report that. Livelsberger was an active duty soldier on leave from his unit in Germany. He died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head prior to the Cybertruck explosion. U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Division, CID, is part of this investigation since one attacker was an active duty soldier. Din Jabbar had ties in Texas and Georgia to those local field offices, and they're doing background work there. Let me read that again. Din Jabbar had ties in Texas and Georgia to those local field officers, and they're doing work there. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I'm still pretty convinced they were jacking this guy up. No connection between the two incidents, according to the presenters in the conference call. As expected, all directors and leaders highlighted the need for future funding to ensure several several future upcoming public events, Mardi Gras, the Super Bowl, etc., were well funded. That's the whole point of a 6-week cycle. There was very little discussion on ISIS or other terror groups being propagators of these attacks. That's interesting because the news is saying something different. A lot of discussion about copycat attacks, but there are no credible threats. Well, that's kind of the opposite of what we just heard. Some personal insights from myself. I would be very aware of what is going on around you. Be cautious in large public gatherings. Always have a plan of escape. Set up prearranged meeting places in case something happens while you're out. Whether these were genuine terrorist attacks or six-week cycles gone awry, we will probably never know, but innocent people were hurt, and I never want that for any of the No Agenda producers. Okay. So then we go to what the mainstream news is doing. And this was CNN, and they brought on this amazing guy. His name is, let me see, Donald Harvin, Homeland Security and Public Health Emergency Subject Matter Expert, serves as faculty in Georgetown University's Emergency and Disaster Management Master's Program and Applied Intelligence Master's Program. This guy is Denzel Washington with a real job. Homeland Security Analyst. He's a spokeshole on behalf of the intelligence community. And he's going to send us down the ISIS road because we can't let anyone know that this was botched.
I also think that ISIS and Al-Qaeda to a lesser extent, but mostly ISIS, appeal so much more. They have so much more outreach. And if you're downtrodden, and I've consumed their products for over 10 years, I have to dissect them. I have to train individuals on them. They're very appealing to many people who are downtrodden, who are very angry at individuals. They're psychologically geared towards individuals who are in the margins or in extremes of our population.
When you say it's psychological, when you say it's appealing, I mean, how? Can you, like, what's the detail there?
They have a little bit of something for everybody. You've probably heard Director Ray over the last few years talk about the salad bar ideology.
Oh, not heard about that, but I like it.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either.
Salad bar ideology. I'm all in on it.
It doesn't matter how you show up to the salad bar. There's a little something there for everyone.
Oh.
So if you're a black nationalist,
brother,
right, and you don't like police beatings, they have products for you.
ISIS does.
We have products. They've got products. John. They've got
exactly what is he referring to?
They've got
to.
Products.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen Absolutely. Our white nationalists, our far-right extremists, they have something for them as well. They have something for a little bit of everybody. And, you know, we saw for the very first time, I think it was 2018, we had a suicide bomber in the Middle East who came from Florida, middle-class family, gated community. He'd left the U.S., burned his passport, and went out there to join ISIS. He said he didn't like his life, and, you know, they offered something to him. So they do this. There's an appeal that they have for women. We've seen young women leave the United States and travel to join ISIS. And so they're very effective in their communication.
So the narrative is being set here for ISIS. Now I want to read a tweet.
But I got a comment.
Yeah, sure.
American passports are extremely valuable.
Yeah.
If you're going to be one of these guys, you don't burn
your
passport. You don't burn it. Well, you just threw away $1,000. It's dumb.
So now we have our other agencies. We have the CIA. Now, remember, the CIA and the intelligence community does not want Tulsi Gabbard.
No, they don't.
The military. Now, our military is very broken. We identified this with the grid is going down. All of it coming out of kind of the corner of DIA. Certainly, General Flynn flowing through to all the way to Naomi Wolf, whose husband is ex-DIA. Laura Logan, whose husband is ex-DIA. And so Laura Logan posts on X, I learned months ago from multiple U.S. intel sources that the CIA was urging their friends in the Taliban and Haqqani terror network to use their sleeper cells inside the U.S. for an attack that would be blamed on ISIS. So I am very skeptical. It is too easy to blame ISIS. They do it. So do we now have a continuation of CIA versus DIA? I'm not entirely sure. But the military definitely is the outfit that does psychological operations. That's kind of the same everywhere. The military is specialized in that. CIA, they go out, they clear the decks, they help with color revolutions, they get ready for the military to come in. So now we need to move over to Vegas. Before we do that, I'm going to play your PBS rap on the Vegas Cybertrucker.
The soldier who took his life outside of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas said he was trying to draw attention to the country's problems. Investigators said they recovered a note from a phone inside the burned-out Cybertruck he detonated, in which Matthew Leivelsberger wrote that his actions were not a terrorist attack. Rather, quote, it was a wake-up call. Americans only pay attention to spectacles and violence. What better way to get my point across than a stunt with fireworks and explosives? An FBI investigator said today they do not believe that Leivelsberger harbored any malice toward President-elect Trump and that he suffered trauma from his service.
And although this incident is more public and more sensational than usual, it ultimately appears to be a tragic case of suicide involving a heavily decorated combat veteran who is struggling with PTSD and other issues.
Pentagon officials have not said whether Leivelsberger had been suffering from mental health issues, but have turned over his medical records to police. Seven people were injured in the blast, none of them seriously.
So what is interesting about your clip is you actually got the real, so-called real manifesto, which was not the one being discussed online. The one being discussed predominantly on the Sean Ryan podcast and thus everywhere, said that was the anti-gravitic memo. And I have to say that I'm even questioning if these cars were rented through the Turo app. Maybe that was just put out there to connect these two, because everybody moved very quickly from New Orleans. Okay, well, that's New Orleans, but this guy, this is what we got to be talking about, this Cybertruck. Oh, that was a, what, did he blow his head off with an Eagle 50 caliber? What was going on? Anti-gravity. Everybody was honed in on this, and so we get an emergency broadcast from Sean Ryan. Now, Sean Ryan, military guy, I'm not going to say Sean Ryan is in on anything, but just like these ex-military guys, they hear stuff, it comes through the wire. Again, it's like, the you know, General Flynn has done a lot of this grid going down type nonsense. So they talk to each other all the time. They're very active on online and Instagram. It's a silo. Now, as an ex-military guy, Sean Ryan has no beard. That's always a flag for me, because ex-military guys, you got to have a beard. If you're in the silo, you got to have a beard. So he doesn't have a beard. We have to make note of the fact that in his bio, he states he was a CIA contractor for 12 years. So I'm not sure what he is. And again, I'm not saying that he knows anything. But then what shows up on his podcast but a guy named Sam Shumate, who is an ex-military guy. And he has received this email the day before, which he says came from this guy who blew himself up in the Cybertruck. And this is the whole China has been launching anti-gravitic drones from the Atlantic submarines for years, etc. And let's learn a little bit about this guy.
Is there anything else we need to cover that you can think of? Jeremy,
I like the breath.
Oh yeah, he does. There's a lot of this, and then he asks his. So everyone has a Jamie now. So now we have Sean Ryan asking Jeremy. That's his Jamie. Is there anything else we need to cover? Like this guy. I guess he's the producer, so I guess he has all the questions.
Jeremy,
did you want to go into the other item we talked about in the ride over here this morning?
Oh, the other item. Hold on a second. There's more. The other item.
Oh, the... Mm-hmm. Can I say it?
Yes.
Yeah, the man pads.
Can I say it? The man pads? What?
Well, I'm unfamiliar. All right. So I'm saying this with... You can decide to use this or cut it out. This is hard to work with, because keep in mind, let me give some background on this. I'm an intelligence analyst, and I've spent
Oh, okay. Now this guy is not just some rando posting on Instagram. He's an intelligence analyst. Okay.
A long, many years, validating sources, taking information in, putting it back out, telling my humenters, hey, this source, this is valid.
Yeah, and so that sounds more like CIA to me when you're talking about humanters. But okay, we'll he's an intelligence analyst for the military, apparently. But now he's doing this.
Putting it back out, telling my humanters, hey, this source, this is valid. Let's, give him a rating of this, do this, recommendations, so we can identify good sources in the field that give us information, and we can say, yes, this is a, an A source versus an F6. This is just garbage. Somebody got paid for something. I still work in intelligence. I'm an intelligence officer. I work for a nonprofit. We Remnant Ministries out of Texas. In fact, the website is in my bio on X. I work with I work for Dr. Pete Chambers.
Okay. So bells go off in my head. Wait a minute. You're an intelligence analyst for the Remnant Ministry out of Texas. You work with Dr. Pete Chambers. Well, I know who this is. This is the guy who set up the Let's Take Back Our Borders convoy down to Eagle Pass, which was the wettest fart in all history. Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
Sir Gene went down there and we're going to take back our borders. And this guy was out. It was a little, it was like 50 guys showed up and okay, big noise, very, very small organization. And,
but they have a human or a, not a human, but an intelligence guy working there. Really?
Yes, exactly. So, and it's Doc Chambers, who himself, I believe, was also in intelligence. So there's something fundamentally broken about these stories.
Too many people that have worked in intelligence.
Too many guys in intelligence. So let's talk about the man pad, shall we?
We had some confirmed reporting through two solid sources.
Which he never mentions.
And this is where I have to be very iffy. And I told him in the car, and he can tell you offline, I cannot say this on the air.
Why not? I don't understand. Everything's out in the open, but he can't say, I can't say this on the air.
But we had two solid sources, one south of the border, and then one from an element within our own government that confirmed independently of each other that some Iranian-made man pads to surface air missiles had come across the border. We had the location and everything else. Well, Doc, that's what he goes by, Doc Chambers, he put this out on a podcast, and I was very emphatic, this is not stuff that I like to put on social media. Mm-hmm. I'm an intel guy by trade. This stuff is not for social media consumption.
This guy, literally all he does is post on social media, on Instagram. But now this thing, Doc, I can't put this on social media. Okay.
We got this to Secret Service. We did the whole gamut and got everything pushed to them. And that's why Trump was pushing a lot of this stuff out when he was, because we had told the Secret Service and they had the reporting and everything else. But we have not, to my knowledge, have not recovered those man pads. Now, I'm not privy to that. But what I do know we have done is we have apprehended the couriers on a second run of theirs. And we have local law enforcement got together with federal law enforcement and rolled up the safe house in, I will not say that on.
No, why say it, please?
On this show, but they rolled up the safe house where it was. But it was something we found was pertinent, because at the time, Trump was still campaigning. He was flying around, and there was the reports were their intent was to take down Trump's airplane. So at the time, Secret Service switched things up a bit, and allegedly, from what I've told, they started flying him around on charters for a while until they could identify and kind of mitigate that threat.
Okay, so this, we remember this story. Iran's going to take down Trump's plane. Again, we heard this from Laura Logan. This is all these rumors that flow through these networks. And I'm sad to say, I'm sure the guy means well, but do they really?
You don't know that.
I don't know that for sure. You're correct. But it's like, come on. I mean, can you make it even crazier? Oh, wait. Oh, yes, I can.
I'm with you on the not releasing certain things on social media. I understand that. But on the other way, on the other hand, it seems to be the only way to demand any type of accountability or get this in force.
You see, what Sean Ryan is saying here now is we've been warning you. We've been saying ISIS is coming, and I'll get to that in a moment. No one will listen to us. It's finally here. It's finally happening. We were right again.
FBI, Homeland, whoever else is involved, yep, to dive into this shit and actually take part. And that's what we've been doing here on the show with Scott Mann, retired Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret, Sarah Adams, former agency targeter. We brought on Legend, who's an Army intelligence guy who goes by Legend because he doesn't want to reveal his name because he's still...
Oh, brother. Seriously? You know what has happened here? Is
It sounds like WWE.
What has happened here is the people who used to go on cable news, who would be former this, former that, former intelligence, former colonel, they've all moved to podcasts. And they're blanketing podcasts, particularly these military-based podcasts, with their literal disinformation, as far as I'm concerned, because none of it can actually be told or really checks out. But this next one here is a doozy.
It's very involved. We've been talking about this stuff for a year. We got it to Congress, congressman out of Knoxville, Tennessee, Tim Burchett, and nobody's fucking paying attention. Nobody's paying attention. We tried to get it in the media. We got a little bit of hits. Most of them were from outside the U.S. We had a reporter out of India kind of cover it. But we've been warning about what's happening for damn near a year now. Sarah first came on, I believe it was October of 2023, was her first interview. And nobody took it seriously. Now we have the New Orleans attack. We have Iranian missiles. We have these invisible bombs. Do you know about the invisible bombs?
Oh, no! The invisible bombs? John, do you know about the invisible bombs?
No, but I'm about to find out.
So now these terrorist organizations have developed invisible bombs, mm-hmm, that will get through metal detectors, any kind of screening device that's out there. Plastic. And they brag about this. And now we just did a Twitter Spaces with Sarah Adams.
Sarah Adams is important. We're going to come to her in a moment.
Yeah, he just loves her for some reason. He keeps bringing her
up.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'd be interested. They are now bragging that bragging. What we know about the invisible bomb, it's now even more advanced than it was before. So that means
who's bragging?
I don't know. This is the first I've ever heard of the invisible bombs.
They're bragging, and they're bragging and bragging. I've never heard of this, but yet they're bragging. They're doing a poor job of it.
Yeah, really. These guys are doing a good job of spreading it.
Into stadiums. They can get this into airports. They can get this pretty much anywhere they want because you cannot detect it.
That's scary.
There's no stopping what's here. You cannot stop this.
Nope. You can't roll it back.
Not with what we have in the bottle. Already in here. We have sleeper cells.
Yeah, there it is.
We're already getting reports that...
Now, let's just go back to what Laura Logan said. Hold on a second. I learned months ago from multiple U.S. intel sources that the CIA, Sean Ryan, 12-year contractor for the CIA, was urging their friends in the Taliban Haqqani terror network to use their sleeper cells inside the U.S. for an attack that would be blamed on ISIS. Yeah, okay, so this is what we're talking about now. We're fear-mongering about sleeper cells.
Sleeper cells. Yep. We're already getting reports that... I just lost my train of thought. Uh-huh. Oh, we're already getting some reports that there may be a bit more involved in the Louisiana, New Orleans attack, uh-huh, that they're not releasing.
No.
We also, I'll tell you this, there's a group of people flying around and basically briefing up different departments, governors, about what's coming, how to deal with it in their communities. And so what I basically want to say is, it's going to be a bloody 2025.
Oh, okay. It's going to be a bloody 2025. Well, maybe this first month as we have these confirmation hearings coming up. So now let's just meet Sarah Adams, who has been on Sean Ryan's show several times. I mean, whenever I see someone coming out and saying, yeah, I'm ex-CIA, immediately I go, no, you're not. You're either still CIA or you were never CIA. My uncle was CIA. He couldn't even publish his book about his time in Japan without the, first of all, he had to run his book, Pot Shards, good book, had to run it through the agency. They said, you can't write anything about being in Japan. He lived there for 8 years with his family. He was in Japan. He couldn't write a single thing about it. My aunt, no one, not even my cousins, her children knew she ran the Russia desk for the CIA and outranked Uncle Don until she died, because that's not what you do. You can't just go running around telling everybody how the CIA operates and everything you're doing. But let's meet Sarah Adams. Sean, this is...
No, and not only that, but you basically sign your life away to prevent you from doing that
exactly,
when you join.
Exactly, exactly. It's just not true. There's another guy with like the long braided hair who's been on Lex Fridman. Oh, I'm an ex-CIA guy. I don't believe it for a second. You're either currently CIA and sending a message, or you were never CIA to begin with. So here's Sarah Adams. Let's learn about her as in this welcoming intro, Sean Ryan runs down her honorables.
For those of you that don't know, this is your third appearance on the show. Mm-hmm. We already have a fourth scheduled for...
Oh, well, I guess there's another terror attack coming if she's scheduled for a fourth.
Got a fourth schedule.
All right, here we go.
We already have a fourth scheduled for later in 2025. But Sir Adams, co-author of Benghazi, Know Thy Enemy, a cold case investigation, former CIA officer, Libyan crisis before, during, and after the 9/11 attacks, counterterrorism analyst, targeter for the CIA, senior advisor on the Select Committee on Benghazi.
I don't know what a CIA targeter is. I've never heard of it in my life.
I haven't either. I'm just wondering. Targeter.
The next bit is the best.
Counterterrorism analyst, targeter for the CIA, senior advisor on the Select Committee on Benghazi, NGO official working across multiple conflict zones, including Afghanistan, Ukraine, and Sudan.
NGO official in Ukraine? So what you do is color revolutions? Is that what you do? NGOs in Ukraine were partly responsible for the overthrow, for the putsch, for the Maidan.
Yep.
So that's what she does?
Partially.
Yeah.
Known to be 10% humanitarian, 90% warlord.
Just that's kidding. Me.
Okay. So, wow. She's a badass, John. That's what you need to know. So tell me about it, Sarah Adams.
I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, passports too in your previous episode. Are they coming in straight to the U.S.?
This is her telling us that ISIS is coming into the country and
straight in.
U.S. passports or passports with visas to the U.S. or is the majority of it going to South America and then funneling it up through the Darien Gap into the southern border?
So, in my opinion, terrorists in general just leaving Afghanistan. Geez, a lot of them are coming up through the Darien Gap to the border. And that was, there was a big push, right? Get in the U.S. while you can. A lot of these terrorists are coming up, right?
And right.
There still is the problem of lone wolves. Uh-huh. There is the problem of, we have terrorists in this country now where those members have never been in this country, right? We don't have any idea what their intent is. Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan is a great example, right? They've sent terrorists from Afghanistan region here. Why? Right?
Why?
We have terrorists in this country that we don't even know the term plans against us because they're not never really been a focus of ours, or we focused on them with this little piece where they did a few operations or training with Al-Qaeda, right? But we don't know the intent, and maybe they just are force multipliers for Al-Qaeda or the Islamic Army.
Source
but
multipliers.
We lack the understanding.
So what she does on the Sean Ryan podcast, and you can go listen to 2 hours of her or 3 hours, it's all this gobbledygook, right? Okay, why? Okay, so she is just she's just telling us story after story. Luckily, I got a yes?
I was going to say, I think it was creative, and you know, just the idea of force multipliers. She has source multipliers. And by the way, I noticed I'm looking at one of their logos, the Sean Ryan Show with Sarah Adams, episode 116. Sarah Adams, aka Super Bad.
Yeah, that's her handle, Super Bad. She looks anything but super bad.
I know. She looks like a wannabe to a sorority. She's a pom-pom girl, maybe, at some high school.
All right. So It was her message is very convoluted on the Sean Ryan podcast, but luckily I found her on the Dale Stark podcast because she gets around again. This is exactly what I said would happen. All these podcasts are open microphones. And it's great. You get someone coming in saying, I'm an ex-CIA guy. Oh, come on. I got to talk to you for 3 hours. Oh, I'm super bad. I'm a CIA targeter. Oh, yeah, you're super bad. I got to talk to you. You've got the right story. But on this particular podcast, she just narrowed it all down for us.
Nobody knew that I had the manifesto. I had to be very quiet for a day. So people were messaging me and they're like, have you heard of this guy? Have you seen this?
Oh, hold on. That's the wrong one. That's not the one I wanted. This is. No, I'm sorry. Where is it? Where's, maybe it is this.
Blah, blah, and they didn't know I wasn't posting on it. People expect me to post on these relevant incidents. I said, so anyways.
Oh, man, where is she? Ah, I had this great.
You have a setup here.
I know, I feel stupid. I had this great clip. Hold on a second.
Still have it.
I can't believe it. This clip is gone.
Well, maybe she is CIA.
Maybe she is. Well, I can tell you. I can tell you what she said. She said, "We're there." Oh man, hold on a second. I can't believe I lost this clip.
You didn't lose it.
Well, where did it go then?
You misplaced it.
I must have misplaced it. She basically says we will have 15 terror attacks in 2025. In the United States.
Oh, this clip, you've got to find.
I know. That's, I can't believe it. I must have mislabeled it or something. I'm going to find it. Gosh, that is really dumb. I don't understand how that happened.
I'd like to see 15 terrorist attacks.
Yeah. Anyway, crap. That was actually my crescendo. I can't believe I lost that one.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest dud I've ever heard.
The biggest letdown I've ever produced on this podcast. Crapola. I feel so stupid.
I feel stupid.
I was convinced I had it, but I have the wrong mislabeled clip here. So let's just bottom line it.
Let's bottom line force exaggerate. Whatever is that term?
Force.
Let's bottom line multiply.
Yes, force multiply this. FBI 6 week cycle. They don't want Kash Patel coming in, rocking the boat. We need all kinds of resources. CIA, their whole job is to make sure that Tulsi gets all kinds of complicated questions. And the CIA, these are the people, or whether they're real CIA, they're certainly not former CIA. And the military is just picking up everything because I think so many of our military has just been traumatized by everything they've been through that it's so easy to lob something to these guys. They take it, they post it, everyone's going back and forth. And meanwhile, we're left with ISIS is here, we're going to die, they're going to attack us. Be afraid, be very afraid. And all of this is happening in this very month when the new administration and confirmation hearings are coming in. And everything else, I mean, I think this guy who blew himself up, he probably had a mental problem and he blew himself up. And I think
it was his form of suicide.
Yeah.
And it turns out they try to make it look like he's some sort of a Trump hater. That's what he did at the Trump Tower. But he's, I guess, was a huge pro-Trumper.
Very pro-Trump, from what I understand. So this is all spinning people up and, you know, of course it's also great that these guys get clicks and likes and views and all of that stuff. That's all fine. Let me see. Is this the clip? I think this is the clip. No, that's not the clip. I cannot stand myself, John. I'm going to find this. We're going to, after the show, we're going to record a drop-in so that I don't look like a total fool.
By the way, I should mention to people out there, we have never done a drop-in.
No, we haven't. I should, though.
And that's a phrase that we do for people that don't know what that means. In other words, you take your whole show and then you go after the show's over and you find, and there's something you wanted to put in, so you re-record something and then you take it, pick it up and drop it in somewhere in the show as though it was in the show.
And then we sound brilliant.
And that's what most, you know, people do. That's post-production. That's what most people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do that because we don't normally we don't have to because we don't have these incidents except rarely.
So I don't think we especially have to be too worried
with
about
a structured
stuff.
Presentation, I might add.
Yes.
Just to rub it in.
Yes. Goodness gracious. I can't believe I screwed that one up. I'm very angry at myself right now.
Sarah Adams. Sarah I'll keep Adams. An eye on her.
Oh, yeah. Well, she has a fourth scheduled appearance on.
Well, I've never heard this guy's show, but I've been listening to some of these oddballs.
It's worth mentioning that he showed up on the Rogan show maybe about a month ago. And that's where I really first heard of him. And I think that really catapulted him out. And Joe was very flattering, you know, like, hey, man, you're the guy that started doing all this stuff. I'm like, huh? Okay, I guess. We did learn, of course, that Tesla has all kinds of data on you when you're driving. That's nice to know. Oh, yeah, but we got pictures of the guy. We got video from inside the Cybertruck.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's what it does. Tesla's a spotting operation.
Yes. Well, most of these cars. Do you know how many cars? The Washington Post actually did a piece on this. Cars are selling your data left and right. It's unbelievable. Your location. It's a big money maker. And there's some websites you can, you know, you can use, and they'll send emails to the appropriate addresses of your car manufacturer to opt out of their data collection. Or I don't know if you can opt out of the data collection, but you can opt out of them sending it to third parties, which brings me to the Apple clip.
Apple is going to pay $95 million to settle a proposed class action lawsuit that claims Siri violated its users' privacy. Mobile device owners say Apple routinely recorded their private conversations after they had unintentionally activated Siri. They claim the company then disclosed the conversations to third parties, such as advertisers. Now, one plaintiff in the suit said he ended up getting ads for a brand name surgical treatment after what he thought was a private discussion with his doctor. The issue reportedly began when Apple incorporated the Hey Siri feature into the voice activated assistant. People who have filed claims could receive up to $20 for each Apple device. Siri. Apple denied wrongdoing in settling the lawsuit.
Wow, 20 whole dollars. How about that? That's
privacy
fabulous.
Is worth nowadays.
You know, the BBC did this story. They did it in kind of a funny way, kind of a way that we might have done.
The tech giant Apple has agreed to pay a $95 million settlement to users who accuse its digital assistant, Siri, of listening in on their private conversations. The BBC's Isabella Bull decided to ask Siri itself about the allegations.
Hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
Have you been recording my private conversations?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Have you been listening to me?
I respect your privacy and only listen when you're talking to me. You can learn about Apple's approach to privacy at apple.com.
So, Siri, why is Apple settling a lawsuit over you?
I found this on the web.
Okay, I can see you've brought up the BBC News article about this lawsuit. Can you explain it to me?
Apple means the round fruit of a tree of the rose family, which typically has thin green or red skin and crisp flesh. Do you want to hear the remaining one?
No, thanks, Siri. That's okay.
Okay. Okay, BBC. Way to go. Way to go not even talking about the issue.
That's kind of cute.
But Apple has, of course, not admitted any guilt in this settlement. It's just settling. They haven't said they do it or not, and no one seems to care.
No, why would they? If you're an Apple user, you've already given up. No. You've given up. So a couple of news items came around. It might be worth discussing.
Okay.
Let's play this clip, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yes. Yes, this got some attention.
President Biden awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to big names in the worlds of politics, the arts, sports, and philanthropy. Former Secretary of State and First Lady Hillary Clinton, Academy Award winner Denzel Washington, and world-renowned conservationist Jane Goodall were among the 19 honorees. The president said the recipients have made remarkable contributions to the world and put decency above all else.
For the final time as president, I have the honor of bestowing the Medal of Freedom on our nation's highest civilian honor on a group of extraordinary, truly extraordinary people who gave their sacred effort to shape the culture and the cause of America.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to those who have made contributions to the prosperity, values, or security of the United States.
So this is kind of interesting. The people
Kind of interesting is that they don't mention anybody worth mentioning.
Well, what was interesting is the people who actually got the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yes. Do you have a list?
Okay, what's the list?
Well, it's a long list. I mean, it's 19 people, but let's go over them. Because he doesn't mention any of them except, you know, Clinton, I guess. Jose Andres, Spanish-American.
He's the chef.
The chef. Okay, he's a good guy, so we'll let him go. Bono?
Bono. Yes, Bono.
Yeah. Why does he get anything?
Well, he had a, you know.
He's not even an American.
He's a U2. He's a U2
It's an
guy.
American award for Americans.
I don't know if it's strictly for Americans.
Ashton Carter, he's dead. He's Secretary of Defense. I don't know what the point of that was. Okay. Hillary Rodham Clinton, Michael J. Fox.
Well, I mean, it's Michael J. Fox.
Well, okay. I like Michael J. Fox, but I don't know.
I mean, you know, Trump gave Rush Limbaugh an award before he died. Michael J. Fox is not doing too well.
Tim Gill.
Who's that?
He's an entrepreneur, advanced LGBTQI rights and equality after transforming and publishing industry through groundbreaking software.
He should get an award because that LGBTQ thing had legs.
He's
an important part of that. Very good.
Jane Goodall.
The gorilla lady.
Yeah, and what is the... great. I'm not arguing that, but what's she got to do with America?
Hold on a second. Just like any award show, this is how you have to look at it. It's always part marketing, and it's always part party. Joe Biden didn't put this list together. You know, he or whoever is standing in for him.
What?
So this is just a list of all these people before they get kicked out of the White House. Like, who do you want to meet? I want to meet that gorilla lady. Okay, let's give her a medal. I've always wanted to meet Bono. He's so awesome. All right, we'll give him a medal. Hey, could I get some cooking tips from Jose? Yeah, we'll give him a medal. That's what this is. Who else is on the list?
Fannie Lou Hammer, who's dead.
Well, they just throw those in to make it look legit.
Racial justice. Irvin Magic Johnson, the basketball player.
Yeah, I'd like to meet him.
What about Larry Bird?
He's white. Get out of here.
Robert RFK, the original.
the dead one?
Yeah.
That's just to poke out RFK Jr.'s eye. Hey.
Well, I think RFK Jr. was there.
Oh, he went there to receive it? Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That was kind of funny.
So they could talk to him in the hallway. Hey, listen.
Ralph Lauren.
Well, come on, man. Get me a free suit.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what everyone at the dinner table the other night was thinking.
Where was Schwarzenegger? Did he get one? Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Not yet. No, it's coming.
All right.
Lionel Messi.
Messi?
The soccer player?
Oh, do you know how many people want to meet him? Give him an award. Did he show up?
I have no idea.
Mm. I think he's playing for an American team now.
Miami.
Yeah.
To be specific.
I was right.
He's not American. William Sanford Nye.
Oh, Bill Nye the Science Guy. He's very important.
How is this guy... Who's not even a science guy. He's an engineer, I think, a mechanical engineer, or even if
he's a plumber.
He's a plumber. He's a plumber. I mean, come on. And he's a phony.
He's a big phony.
Okay,
can I just put it this way? This was trolling. This was trolling for exactly what you're doing.
I got to finish the list now.
Everybody was doing this. Why did that guy get it? He's not even American. This was the whole social media. It was trolling, people, and you're all in on it. Give it to me.
I'm totally in on it.
Trolling.
Let's go. I'm going to finish the list. After Bill Nye, the science guy, we go to George Romney.
Oh, yeah.
Who's also dead.
Yeah. Did Mitt accept on his behalf?
I didn't see that, but I would guess he was there because he lives there in Washington, D.C. So he probably was there.
Was Jimmy Savile on the list by any chance? Did he make the list?
Wow.
He's dead, but, you know, he could have gotten one posthumously.
Give it to Jimmy Savile.
For the pizza parties. Mm-hmm.
David Rubenstein, the co-founder and executive of the Carlyle Group. What?
Very important.
But they're starting to give it to investors now?
Yeah, very important. Important
and there
guys.
We have in the alphabetical order.
Wait. Somebody wants a job after they get out of the administration. They'd love to go to the Carlyle Group. Come on. Hey, we're so glad you come to get your Presidential Medal of Freedom. Can I just give you my resume?
Staying in alphabetical order, the one that really got the attention.
Hillary Clinton.
George Soros.
Yeah.
Who didn't accept the award, his son did.
Yeah, well, George can't, he's dead.
He can't even walk.
He's almost dead, yeah. That was it?
Nope. I got a couple more. There's three more, and then we're done. George Stevens Jr.
Who's that?
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a award-winning writer, director, author, and playwright. His career has been dedicated to preserving and celebrating the best of American film and the performing arts, including by founding the American Film Institute and creating the Kennedy Center Honors.
Oh, okay. Well, you want that guy because, you know, hey, look, if we give you an award, can you give me a Kennedy Center Honor?
Boom.
Yeah,
exactly. I think you nailed that one.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of these were sketchy. Denzel Washington?
Oh, he's a pastor now. Denzel.
Yeah, you know,
Denzel.
I heard that.
Got to bring the God stuff in. Very good. Well, they had one good
and
one.
And then wait, there. Last on the list, last one. Which is really a head shaker to me. Anna Wintour?
Hey, I want to sit on the front row of the next fashion show. Hey, listen, I'm going to be ambassador to Paris. Anna, can you make sure that I get a good seat at the front row at the fashion show during fashion week?
Disgusting list.
So while you did that, thank you for doing that list. I was able to find my clip.
Ah, you can thank me.
I'm thanking you. Here is the clip.
Back to the interesting point. You said that you guys think that they've sent at least 15, Al-Qaeda alone has sent at least 1,500 people here in the United States.
Correct.
What do they plan on doing with them?
They have a 2025 multi-coordinated, multi-city plot to avenge the death of Osama bin Laden.
Okay, so I've watched you on podcasts. I've never heard that. Could you explain that more?
We're going to put a report on Monday, but essentially Al-Qaeda is actually who helped plan the Hamas attacks. The Hamas attacks is a dress rehearsal. So the Hamas attacks is the practice attack, and then the big attack is going to be in the United States and then in four countries in Europe.
Okay. You guys want to go home and load magazines?
There it is. Four countries in Europe. There's 1,500 Al-Qaeda in America. They're going to attack as revenge for bin Laden, according to Sarah Adams. There you go. On the Shark Coast Tactical podcast.
Ugh.
Exactly. So she just goes out everywhere. The pom-pom.
Makes it up as she goes along? Well, I don't believe she's even being scheduled to do anything. Well, she makes it up. She's making it up.
Listen to what she called it here.
She's not even an op.
Here, listen to what she calls it.
What do they plan on doing with them?
They have a 2025 multi-coordinated, multi-city...
Multi-coordinated, multi-city...
...plot to avenge the...
Multi-coordinated, multi-city. I like it.
Hey, Abdullah, are you coordinated? I'm ready. Go ahead, Muhammad.
Please. You're right. She does look like a pom-pom girl. She looks anything but super bad.
Yeah, she's like a pom-pom girl. She might not even make the squad a pom-pom girl, which is, you know, the lowest. No offense to the women out there who couldn't make the pom-pom team.
At all. No.
Please.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Well,
we're aware of another lunatic.
I just find it a little bit concerning because people are out there just walking around like, oh yeah. Although I am very proud of a lot of our No Agenda producers who would send me this this link to the Sean Ryan podcast. Like, this makes no sense. This has got to be an op. Well, yeah, of sorts.
And again, I don't even think that's the thing. I'm not even thinking it's an op.
No, it's just chatter.
It's just bull crap.
It's just idle chat. Well, you know, they
ops are pretty well structured when they work, when they're when it's a real op.
Yeah, they could try something, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. Boy, I have so many different places I can go right now.
Well, I can go with the U.S. Steel buyout, which is kind of interesting. But I have this a series of clips I want to play.
Okay.
On manufacturing job training, because I have complaints about these three clips.
Manufacturing job training. Is this where you have to train your replacement from India?
No, that's old news.
Oh, okay.
This is just bitching and moaning about the fact that they want to keep kids from taking gender studies in college. They finally got a clue. And so this MFG job training, I have commentary.
Okay, this is the first one, PBSW.
Yep.
To reflect this important and concerning risk.
Do you know what those limits should be? How they should be revised?
Well, they should be revised downward, is my opinion. And
who's talking here? Give me some context. Okay. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, okay. They're talking about the fact that Trump wants to make us a manufacturing, a strong manufacturing company once again, and we're going to crank it up. So we're all in the manufacturing game. And this guy comes on to say that this, I cut right into the middle of it. This was too long to play the whole thing. And so I have to do it. It turns out that if you look at the data and everything, we're done as manufacturing. And we can't get enough workers. Kids don't want to do the job. You ask the kids if they want to go into manufacturing. They'd rather not.
They want to be on something. TikTok. Want to be an influencer.
You know what you just said is absolutely part of the bit.
okay.
you actually nailed it. Because they'd rather be on TikTok or doing nothing. They've never been trained properly. When I was a kid.
Here we go.
When I was a kid in high school, during the summer, I would work in a manufacturing job in high school. And then in college, you do this. I mean, you would just do that. It would just be you go to school and then you work during the summer, or you might go to camp. Most people didn't. They'd get a job, make a bunch of money, and you could coast through the regular year with that money.
Yeah.
And then you'd learn how important that was, because you'd have money, which is a big deal. And you'd also get into the good habits of liking to work, because it's actually something, a good way to use your time. And the kids today, no, they're not interested.
They want to be influencers, or they want to work for Rover and be dog sitters.
That is not too far from what they're talking about. You just said.
Okay.
So we're in the middle of the conversation. So we're kind of picking up a conversation in the middle. Here we go.
To reflect this important and concerning risk.
Do you know what those limits should be? How they should be revised?
Well, they should be revised downward, is my opinion. And overall, what the guidelines committee needs to do is look at the overall health impact of alcohol. But here, too, it's worth noting.
What are you playing?
I'm playing the one you told me to play, MFG Job Training PBSW.
Oh my God, that is the alcohol clip. I guess both of us are doing this today.
The op is in progress.
Let's skip
We're
that.
Screwed. Then. We're screwed today.
That is the alcohol clip, because I'm going to stop this job clip, because what I just said is probably enough. But let's skip up to Anti-Alky 1 PBS.
Alcohol is the third leading preventable cause of cancer in the United States, following tobacco use and obesity. Alcohol consumption contributes to roughly 100,000 cancer cases and 20,000 deaths each year. And a new advisory out today from the U.S. Surgeon General says alcoholic beverages should have a warning label about those risks. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy joins us now to discuss. Welcome back to the NewsHour. Great to see you.
Thanks so much, Amna. Good to be with you again.
There's a few things that really stood out to me from your findings. I just want to tick through them for our audience here. Number one, alcohol consumption, you found, increases the risk of at least 7 types of cancer. Mm-hmm. Over 16% of all breast cancer cases in the U.S. in 2019 were alcohol related.
Okay,
and only
45%.
Okay.
So this is part of the series of clips I played last show, which is this anti-alcohol thing that's going on.
Yes, I've heard about it.
And so now they're claiming it does this, and that somehow breast cancer is related to having a drink.
Yep.
which it would logically makes no sense. Why but not? Okay, we're going to go with this. Now, you can play the rest of this clip or you can listen to me complain.
Well, before we listen to you complain, I have a follow-on clip because there was a little gotcha in this that came in from this same story, which was the same everywhere.
It was the same everywhere. It was local news. This mm-hmm. was PBS. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was following the last show's clips about Sober January.
Listen to this.
You play yours. Play it.
On the medical watch now, alcohol is as bad as smoking when it comes to causing cancer. That's the bold statement from the U.S.
This is important because it leads into what's coming regarding this.
Surgeon General, who's recommending warning labels on alcoholic beverages. Dr. Vivek Murthy's report cites studies linking alcoholic beverages to at least 7 malignancies, including breast cancer. Joining me now to sort out what this means for us is Dr. Brian Helfand, who is an oncologist with Endeavor Health.
This guy's an oncologist.
Here, since alcohol is so much a part of so many people's lives, I'm sure they're not happy, obviously, about this. You know, when the warnings first arose regarding cigarettes, I think people didn't necessarily believe it. Then that cancer connection became so clear. Do you see that happening with alcohol?
I think the information that we obtain through large studies, and we have these, you know, amazing abilities now that we've accumulated data sets for many, many years, and we can analyze it. And the more information that we can get from that really convinces us of the harms that a lot of what we consider routine behaviors and the harm that they have caused. So, I think that we are learning. I do think that we will potentially see that, you know, severe warnings and potentially even taxes on alcohol as we...
Taxes. More taxes on alcohol. That's what this is. That's where this is going. Higher taxes to thwart people from drinking alcohol. It's easy.
I think that's just one of two elements.
What's the other one?
The other element, which was shown on local television, and I think local broadcasts will have this, there's a non-alcoholic club in San Francisco. It's a nightclub, and it only serves non-alcoholic wine, non-alcoholic champagne, non-alcoholic beer. And I think there's a lobby that put this package together. In other words, a group of people to promote non-alcohol beverage drinking.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because that's what you do. If you get all these different companies. There's a lot of them now making non-alcoholic beverage. You form a community and you say, "Look, we need a lobbying effort.
Yeah,
we got to start getting people to drink this crap."
What is your as an alcohol consumer yourself? What is your thinking on this? I mean, they're now saying that it's just connected. You drink alcohol, you have a chance of getting cancer. To me,
I think water does the same thing, which will give you cancer. I think it's nonsense at some level. And the longevity studies in France, for example, where they drink a lot, or they used to drink a lot more alcohol than they do today, and the fact that we really had a society that was an alcoholic before prohibition.
Yes.
I'm not buying any of it. And when it comes to the non-alcoholic stuff, I have to say it's the improvement in its quality over the years. It's probably the right time to try to promote it a little bit, because I think some of it's actually quite tasty. I've had a few beers recently, and not wine so much, but beers that are non-alcoholic that are quite good. And so if I was in that business, I would be going out of my way to promote people, at least try it. And this is probably an attempt, I think. I think this is just promotional. But I like the tax thing. I didn't catch that.
The tax thing, and then there's also, we're still looking for a reason for the turbo cancers.
Number three, you're right. I actually thought about that. Still looking
for reasons, yes.
We have a bunch of turbo cancers caused by vaccines, which are cancer-causing, documented. And more recent, and you got to come up with something to explain it away. So yes, yeah, that would be the third rationale.
Have you heard of the Mirror Life? Have you heard of this scientific breakthrough mirroring molecules, mirroring life?
You know, it's ringing some sort of bell, but I'm not, I don't know what you're talking about.
So a warning came out that scientists, so at first I thought it was like gain of function, and it's not gain of function, but I have a couple clips here. This is from The Current.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current podcast.
Sorry. That has to stay in there, otherwise you have no context.
You know, it sounds like something, maybe an episode of Star Trek. A group of scientists is calling for a halt in research that could lead to something called mirror life. Well, scientists worry that the synthetic organisms that create these mirror molecules in this field of research could present an unprecedented risk to all life on Earth. That sounds rather serious.
Great.
Kate Adamala is one of the scientists. She's a synthetic biologist, founder of the Build a Cell Initiative, and genetics professor at the University of Minnesota.
Build a
She's
bear?
In Minneapolis. No. Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with the basics. What do you do? What is a synthetic biologist?
Synthetic biologist is someone who makes things out of biology that biology doesn't naturally do. And we do that so we can expand the diversity of what we can get out of biology, better medicine, better drugs, better ways of making molecules, basically making anything that a natural biology didn't think of doing.
And so the mRNA vaccine during the COVID pandemic is an example of that, right?
Yes, that's one of our poster child examples of a successful synthetic biology project.
Okay. That got my attention.
Yeah, I would think.
That got my attention. So it seems that there's a bunch of scientists out there saying we should not be doing this. I think I can agree. But when you get into this, I mean, this is more freaky than the drones.
What is mirror life?
Mirror life is the idea that you could make a cell that looks exactly like a normal bacteria cell, but all molecules in that cell would be pointing the opposite direction. So every biological molecule points one way or the other. It has a physical conformation in space, and there are two possible conformations for every molecule. And life is very particular about what direction all our molecules point. There is one conformation that all life uses, and it's possible to imagine making a cell where all molecules point the exactly opposite direction. That's why we call it mirror life, because it would be like a molecule that looks at itself in a mirror.
Why are these people doing this? Are they run out of ideas to kill us?
Well, they would hope that they could come up with something that would kill us faster. This has been attempted before. This all stems back to something that was taking place in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah, which
was
I knew you'd have context for us.
Trying to create life from scratch.
That's it.
This is something that has never been accomplished. And it can't be accomplished for various, I don't know what the reasons, the cosmic reasons are, but it hasn't been done. And it seems unlikely that it will ever be done. And it's just this is part of that process. Hope it is, and it's. I think it stems from the thinking of matter and antimatter, and you have life and anti-life. Because this is basically what she's describing, which isn't mirroring but anti-life. And so this is bullcrap. Going nowhere.
Good.
It's got an mRNA. Has got nothing to do with this. That's been a technology as everyone has known about mRNA. Decades ago, in fact, there's papers written about it.
But it's one of the poster children of their work.
It says can't be a poster child for what she's up to. This is bullcrap.
I have one clip here about why. Why are we doing this?
Why would somebody want to do that?
Yeah, why?
Because we wanted to do that for the same reasons why we don't want to do it right now. So we thought that it would be a great medicine.
We want to do it for the same reasons we don't want to do it. These people get grants, man.
This is out of control. What you're talking about, what you just said is the problem.
Yeah, grants.
Come on, Doge, get to work.
Immune system wouldn't freak out about it, we would be able to make cell-based therapeutics that would not create adverse immune response. And we also could use it for biomanufacturing. We could use it to make molecules with biology in bioreactors that are not susceptible to external contaminations, because we thought that they would be orthogonal to viruses, to predators. Mm. And these are exactly the reasons why now we understand we shouldn't be making it, because it wouldn't only be silent to immune system when we want it. It would always be silent to immune system. So it could be a pathogen that we couldn't fight.
There you go. Well, then don't do it. Stop playing God. Don't do it. These people are crazy. Brought to you by the same people who brought you climate change. Or the new outbreak, John, very mysterious virus in China. Have you been following the news?
Well, not yeah, but not that. I don't know what this is.
Oh, this is great. So this is
only out of Wuhan.
It's only on Indian channels. It's really strange that the Indian news has picked this up, and we have Apaki Sharma, who no longer works at the old place at WION channel.
And by the way, have you seen the AI version of her?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
Yeah.
This is not the AI version of Palki Sharma. I can't remember her name. But this is she lays, and you know, she has such an authoritative voice.
I hate to say this, but it feels like 2020 all over again.
All right, this is the way you start, baby.
Overflowing hospitals and thousands of patients with flu-like symptoms. China is facing a new health crisis, a new disease outbreak, which looks a lot like the Wuhan virus. And as always, Beijing is sharing no information.
As always.
They're calling it a pneumonia of unknown origin.
Pneumonia of unknown origin.
That's how Chinese authorities have described it. Beijing says it has set up systems to monitor the outbreak. If you feel like you've heard this before, you have. From the same China, some 4 years back. They're making it sound like it's just the flu season. We do hope it's just that, but sadly, the pictures tell a different story. Take a look at this. This is believed to be from a hospital in China. We cannot verify these pictures, but several videos like this one are going viral. Clearly, there is more to the story. We do not wish to speculate. And
it's exact same pictures as with COVID. You know, they've got everyone in the waiting room. They've got IVs. Yeah.
Pictures in Italy.
Yeah, you're seeing pictures of morgues. Everything's stacking up.
Feed the fear. But here is what we know so far. This is not a new disease. Experts say that China is dealing with an outbreak of HMPV. That's the human metapneumovirus, HMPV.
HMPV. We have a name, HMPV, but it's only...
Was it H or S?
HM, human metapneumonic...
Whatever.
This is what we know so far. This is not a new disease. Experts say that China is dealing with an outbreak of HMPV. That's the human metapneumovirus, HMPV.
Human metapneumovirus.
This virus has been around for at least 60 years. Oh, it is quite common and easy to catch.
Well, now
so
it's
unlike
common.
The Wuhan virus, this time they seem to be dealing with a known disease, and yet there are reasons to be worried. The first reason is the scale of the outbreak.
Scale.
It is massive.
Scale.
Cases have been reported in multiple cities across China. Beijing, Tianjin,
everywhere.
Hebei, Shaanxi, and Inner Mongolia. These five areas have reported the highest number of cases. But we don't know about the actual caseload. As usual, China has not shared any data, so we don't know how much worse it could become.
So every single Indian channel had this. I'll just play a brief little bit here so you get a little taste for it. This is China News 18.
Welcome back. And well, viewers, 5 years after the COVID-19 pandemic, which first originated from China, China once again is witnessing an outbreak of the human metapneumovirus, or the HMPV. According to reports and social media posts, hospitals are overcrowded with infected individuals, and crematories also overwhelmed. Some social media users, in fact, claim that multiple viruses, including influenza, HMPV, mycoplasma,
and then we have WION.
The Beijing has denied reports on social media posts that China is experiencing a rise in respiratory illnesses, including human metapneumovirus, also known as the HMPV.
So everyone's got the same. Well, it's a social media post. It's the same thing. I don't know why they're trying to do this. Maybe because they're the guys who make the most ivermectin or something. And I would have dismissed all of this were it not for this late breaking news report that is read in a very boring voice from Euronews.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has cancelled her engagements for the first 2 weeks of January after falling sick. According to an official announcement by her office, the EU Commission President has been diagnosed with severe pneumonia.
Ooh, Queen Ursula is down. Severe pneumonia. Hmm. I don't
vaccine
know.
Vaccine on the horizon.
Could be. Could be. There's no vaccine for HMPV, apparently.
Yet.
Not yet. Meanwhile, in America, we finally latched on to the branding.
What some people are terming the quaddemic of infectious diseases hitting hard this season. Joining us now is Dr. Stephanie Widmer with more on how to stay healthy. Doctor, good morning to you. It's great to have you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much.
I guess let's talk about these viral syndromes.
Yes. And I want to jump right into some of the numbers here as we get into it, because COVID, RSV, norovirus making the rounds this winter. RSV cases.
What when they add HMPV, will it be the quindemic?
They're going to have trouble naming it.
Yeah.
It's higher than they were this time of year last year.
What?
35 states reporting high or very high levels of respiratory illness. And the CDC estimates that there have been at least 5.3 million illnesses, 63,000 hospitalizations, and 2,700 deaths from the flu so far this season.
That's actually low for flu. That's low. Normally, it's 20,000 deaths.
So we just mentioned earlier, people calling this a quaddemic. Is that really an accurate description? And how would you explain what's really going
on?
So this term quaddemic, it refers to the convergence of high levels of, just like you said, flu, COVID, RSV, and this norovirus. And there are multiple factors at play here. Different social, environmental, biologic factors that are causing these numbers that, you know, in New York, it's not unprecedented to see high levels of viral syndromes, especially during the winter when there's indoor crowding, increased travel, lots of different gatherings. But there are other factors at play here, such as viral evolution, new strains that emerge, lots of different things.
Lots of different things. And this I have another report here, which is, where's this from? From Philadelphia. They bring in a doctor because, you know, this stuff, you got to be careful with this. This is not just stuff that just is out there.
Are you leaving these clips short? Because I don't believe you have any of these clips, especially from the United States, that don't promote vaccination after the clip is over.
Oh, no, I have it. I mean, if you want it, I mean,
I'm just making sure it's there, because they're dropping the ball if they don't talk about it. I have three more clips
from Good Morning America alone. I mean, here, you can hear about the prevention.
So you mentioned some of the remedies there, but what about prevention?
So prevention is key. One thing that's very important, if you haven't gotten your flu vaccine or any vaccines you might be eligible for, it is not too late. So reach out to your healthcare provider to see which vaccines you can be eligible for. Hand washing is huge, especially with this norovirus. So hand sanitizer may not be 100% effective for norovirus. So washing your hands at least for 20 seconds. Yes, because a lot of these viruses can live on surfaces. So washing your hands adequately, not touching your face, your nose, your mouth. Things like that are huge for prevention.
Yes.
They're just sitting there on the surface.
But wait, there's another way you can catch some of these viruses. And it's a doozy. We're going to ABC Philadelphia.
Well, you may have noticed, perhaps in your family, at school or at work, lots of people are getting sick these days. The holiday gatherings and an uptick in viruses going around this time of year causing a spread and a spike. Action News reporter Maggie Kent and Tony is now live in Nicetown with what doctors are saying about this today. Maggie.
All right. How can you get this stuff?
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, Brian, as the holiday parties wind down, as people stop traveling and get back to work and school.
Wait, hold on a second. The other doctor says everyone's traveling, and now this woman says they're not traveling.
Well, she's not a
doctor. Can they make up their minds with their message?
She's not a doctor. She's just leading into the package.
And as people stop traveling and get back to work and school, that's when we're seeing the uptick of both respiratory and GI illnesses.
Here we go.
It's time to get back to reality. The busy holiday travel rush and party season is winding down. But flu, COVID, and norovirus season, well, it's spiking.
We see it. We see these respiratory viruses spread through coughing, loud talking, sneezing.
Did you hear that? The respiratory viruses spread through coughing and loud talking.
Oh, I didn't hear the loud talking.
Flu,
play it again.
COVID, and norovirus season, well, it's spiking.
We see it. You see these respiratory viruses spread through coughing, loud talking, sneezing.
I'm going to go around town. Hey, hey, shh, shh, shh.
No loud talking.
No, we need signs. We need a mask sign and then a no loud talking sign. Certainly no podcasters allowed.
I think that's racist.
Now no loud talking? Why is that racist?
Because black people in the theater.
No, they talk loud. Yes, yes. They're always heckling and laughing and joking around. Spreading virus.
Booming voices, many
yes,
of them.
Spreading virus. Very good assumption there.
Yep.
So.
This mania is ludicrous. I don't know anyone who's sick, by the way. You're the closest, and you had this bird flu or whatever it was.
Yeah, I picked it up in Europe. You know, I got to...
And you got it in Europe when you're just sick.
I gave it to Ursula.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Do they ever talk about smooching?
No. But remember...
Isn't that weird? They would say, you think they're, oh, the coughing and loud talking. What about kissing on the lips?
Do you remember during COVID when they said you could have sex, but you couldn't kiss and you need to have a mask?
I don't remember that.
Yes. I'm wondering if I still have a clip of that.
The whole thing is ludicrous.
Yeah, there was something about...
I think they should bring it into these discussions. No kissing.
No kissing.
No kissing.
Stop it. No more kissing. Oh, brother.
Don't shake hands with people. That's how most of it spread. You bow. Learn to bow.
I did pick up a new meme that's kind of been around, but it's picking up again regarding the H-1B visa. Because, of course, the media is all saying that, well, we need to bring people in. You know, these Republicans, they're crazy. They just hate immigrants. They don't like any kind of immigrants. They're just moving it towards a political narrative. But... they're now using a great term, I think, to let everyone know why we need to have H-1B workers. Here's a little supercut.
Not because they're cheaper, but because they are truly the best and brightest, the best and brightest,
best and brightest. Is that a fair characterization?
Certainly, some of the best and brightest, extraordinarily profitable, and the best and brightest and the best and brightest.
Silicon Valley leaders are calling on the best and the brightest.
They are the best and the brightest, the hardest working.
Really attracts some of our best and brightest.
Best and brightest.
The world's best and brightest.
The best and the brightest.
The best and the brightest.
The best and the brightest.
Best and brightest integrated with my best and brightest.
Hardest working, best and brightest from almost every country in the world.
They are the best and the brightest.
Best and brightest.
Celebrating the best and the brightest from around the world.
The best and brightest.
Welcome the best and the brightest.
The White House just announced that it is bringing in the best and brightest.
And what we have done year after year is open our doors to the best and brightest.
The best and brightest. The best and brightest. That's,
you know, it's what it like is. We play these clips for the last 10, almost 20 years now.
Yeah, and it's always the same.
Of these things. And it's just this, it's so annoying that they all... It's like the mainstream media is no good. They're just no good. They dropped the ball. I don't know when they dropped the ball, but I think it was way before our show started. We always like kind of picked up on it,
yeah,
along with everybody else who, you know, condemns them. But this has been going on too long. There's no creativity. There's no originality. They all just parody each other.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Are you even watching Jesse Waters anymore? Probably not.
Well, here's the thing, just my analysis of Fox in general. Fox has got about six shows they do. They do The Five, they do The Morning Show, they do Brett Barr, they do Jesse Waters, they do Hannity, they do Laura, Terry Ingram, they do all these shows. Each show is identical. They have the exact, yeah, and same right format. Up to Gutfeld. You might as well just watch Gutfeld and get a laugh out of it.
Yeah.
Because every show has got the exact same news story. It starts off with the same alert.
Mm-hmm.
It has the same. They'll have different guests, but it's the same story.
Yeah.
And so each show just reiterates whatever the other show. It's a horrible network.
Yeah. Everything.
I can see. Yeah. If you watch one show, if you want to watch one show, or maybe even two, on Fox, that's it. If you watch Fox all day, you're just watching the same material over and over and over, just repackaged very slightly. It's terrible. They're no better than the mainstream media. They are the mainstream media.
Yeah, they are. The ratings reflected. Everyone's moving to podcasts. Podcasts is it, baby. That's where it is. That's where you can get your message out. Open microphone. You can tell everybody. That's right. And YouTube is the place to be. Just ask Chris Cuomo. Man, I'm so happy we chose this path. It's so much better.
As opposed to what path?
As opposed to having to be posting YouTube shorts. I can just say, hey, John, it was a great show we just did, and it's already posted on YouTube. Now we have to do the shorts. So shorts. And we got to do a couple of TikToks, and we got to do some reels so we can, otherwise the algo won't pick it up. Speaking of which, a lot of people up in arms. Elon Musk is changing the algo. He's changing the algo.
There's a scandal going on about the algo now because they've asked Grok about it.
Yeah, Comics for Blogger did that. Did you
see
that?
Did he now? Good for him.
Yeah.
So Grok revealed the fact that you get upgraded and downgraded. So all the crap that was going on before Elon is still going on, and only now it's just skewed differently. I will say that even though my numbers, I can't get them past what they are.
I can't get mine one iota past what mine is.
It's like they have a limit. What's the number on his? Well, let's limit it at 102.4.
What do you have?
That's mine.
I have
102.4 is me.
102.4 FM. I'm always at 96.2. Never up.
Yeah,
never
we're FM stations, the two of us. I think it's some sort of mockery.
96.2 FM. That's my number. And 101.4.
And my number's a little bit higher frequencies, a little better frequency, better quality.
You're in the classic rock section up there in 101.4. I'm in the NPR level. I'm at college radio.
102.4. You're down at NPR, public radio.
Actually, 96. So, that's top 40, baby. I'm in top 40 land.
So there seems to be that. You're right. I noticed this too, and it's like, so that's a scam of some sort, and they can't do anything about that.
Well, the big thing is,
I think if I started from scratch today, I could get my numbers higher.
Well, the big thing is this metric called unregretted user seconds. That's the big metric, which means you get regretted user seconds when people are engaged with your content but don't engage. So if they're not liking, if they're not looking at more, that means they regretted looking at you, and then that counts as regretted user seconds. So they're looking for unregretted user seconds, which forces you to do incredibly high value content, which is the antithesis of what social media is. Social media is the narcissist outlet. It has nothing to do with quality content. And it's also...
Well, the narcissist stuff's the best. Now, I want to bring it back around to the promise clip I do every... I'm going to do every show until Trump gets actually put in office, because according to these people, he's not going to make it.
Yes, DeLulu. The DeLulu
the
gang.
The
DeLulus. DeLulu say that he's never going to again. Kamala's going to be our president.
So we have the latest this week's DeLulu clip. I have it right here ready for you to play.
Okay. Is this number two is what this says?
Yes, this will be the second of the series.
Okay, y'all. The news is hitting. It's looking like Kamala is coming back, y'all. She's coming back from the dead. If you kept hope alive, it's all right. It's going to work out for us, y'all. I've been worried. I've been nervous. I've been sick ever since November 4th. I have not been able to look at TV. I haven't been making videos. I just had to walk away. Today, for the very first time, I heard on CNN, I heard them discussing what is happening, and it is turning in our favor, guys. They are looking at this shit, and they know that it wasn't right. They know that we got cheated. They know that he stole it, and they had laid the trap already. They already laid the trap, and it's coming back. Mr. Gardner, thank you so much. This is amazing. We needed this. We needed this. We need you at this moment and at this time. Glory to God. Mamala, we miss you. Where you at? Come on out here and talk to us.
This reminds me a bit of the quantum dots.
Totally the same. It's the same script flipped.
It's good.
It's set up. It was a trap.
Who was Mr. Gardner? Who was that?
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. Some guy who came out and I don't know what he said, whatever it was, she misinterpreted, I think. I don't know. Maybe just all I know is there's a lot of black women making these videos going on and on about how Trump's not getting in. And there's a few white guys too. That one guy who we played before.
I got a lot of responses to my narcissist spiel.
Yes, and well, you should. I think it's a thesis that we will continue to pound home until it goes away, which it won't.
Well, let me lay this on you. There is a correlation between narcissism and Marxism. While fundamentally different concepts.
Please explain.
While fundamentally different concepts, one being socio-political ideology and the other psychological condition, there are intersections how they relate to individual identity, power dynamics, and cultural critiques. The discussion often revolves around how societal structures influence personal behaviors and vice versa. And there's a lot of different pieces of research. And in fact, a very large PDF that I couldn't even get through. There's a lot of research has been done on the connection between these two. And it kind of makes sense. If you have a very narcissistic society, it's probably easier to introduce Marxism into that.
Why? Why would it be easier?
Well, it seems like if you're completely consumed with yourself and not with anybody else, you're just open to doing what people tell you to do for your brand, for your likes.
I think your basis is correct. I think you might be more susceptible, but I don't know if that's the mechanism.
Well, someone out there knows this stuff because enough people have emailed me about it, but it couldn't quite bring it home for me. I'm all over this still. I think we should.
Yeah, no, and you should be, because we're going to get, especially with my clips,
yes,
you're going to get nothing but this sort of thing, yes, because I love it. Let's talk about, I got another presentation since the other one failed. This was, I thought, a pretty good rundown on pig butchering. PBS finally got a clue.
How long have we been talking about pig butchering? Two years at least? Okay. Yeah.
But I thought their summary was pretty decent, and they really made it more pathetic than it is. And it brings back to me the whole idea of where's our law enforcement, especially when you listen to the numbers.
Yeah.
That are the number, not the number of people, there's hundreds of thousands, I guess, but just the sheer volume of dollars that have been scammed from the worldwide public. And law enforcement's not doing anything about it, but they don't even do a decent job in Oakland of just stopping a guy robbing a gas station. But this is, the law enforcement is not doing its job. Pig butchering PBS.
Many believe we're living in the golden age of scams. Romance scams, yes, investment scams, yes, fake job scams. Even the most skeptical among us are falling prey to increasingly sophisticated frauds. One particular scam called pig butchering has cost victims around the world an estimated $75 billion in just the last 4 years.
Allie
Rogan
billion?
Has more on what it is and how to avoid it.
Pig butchering investment scams have exploded over the last few years. Named for the practice of farmers fattening hogs before slaughter, the scheme often starts with a simple hi or a seemingly innocent wrong number text on messaging platforms like WhatsApp. Before they catch on, victims can lose hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars. In 2023 alone, Americans reported losing $4.6 billion to investment schemes. And it's not just the targets that are being harmed. The imposters on the other end of the line are often human trafficking victims forced to run the scheme by large crime syndicates in Asia. Aaron West is a former deputy district attorney in Santa Clara County, California. Aaron, thank you so much for being here. How do these schemes play out, and what sort of psychological tactics do these scammers use to trick people?
Wow. Welcome to the party, PBS. Jeez. They're finally figuring this out. This happened to me
on LinkedIn. Let me guess.
Hey, how you doing? It's been a while since we met at that conference. Cute picture and profile. No,
it was different because the pictures are already in LinkedIn of the people.
Yeah.
And it was an Asian woman. They talk about in the next clip about this, mostly Asian women.
Yes.
And so there's a pretty Asian girl that was head of some company or something. Oh, you know, I like your profile. I think we can do business. Some bull crap. It went on and on. So I sent back to her. I said, I don't know what kind of business you think I'm in, but, you know, what? Tell me more. So I wanted to lead her on this. I found out what company she was with, and I looked it up on LinkedIn, and there was a bunch of people, different names from that company, because you can do a reverse search just company only. Mm-hmm. And many of them had her same picture with different names.
This was pretty obvious.
And so you can mention it to her that, yeah, you know, you look just like this other woman, almost identical. In fact, the photos are exactly the same. Is that you? And then you did boom, click. So I've been getting these phone calls. Another scam goes on, which is phone calls. And they keep calling about PG&E giving me a discount on my bill. And $50 return. And so the latest one, which just has happened in the last couple of days, is a recording that comes on. It's a phony voice, an AI voice that says, "Are you there? Are you there?" And it keeps repeating this until you say, "Yes, hello."
And then click.
No, and then it goes, "Hi, I'm Ellen," or whoever it is. From PG&E, we want to give you a discount on your bill. Is that something you want? Yes. Oh, let me send you to our... Hold on while I transfer the call.
That's not pig butchering. That's not pig butchering.
No, I know, but I'm just talking about general... This is the age of scams. Mm. And the pig butchers do the same thing when it comes to how you respond. So the guy comes on, he says, you got a discount coming, got $120 due. He says, how would you like it? How would you like the money? Would you like it on your credit card or your checking account? How would you like it?
Yeah.
And so I got to start recording these because I say, oh, well, just put it on my bill as a credit. Click. It was like instant click.
But that's just a regular scam. Here, I'm going to read a few from my text messages. Hey, long time no see. How are you feeling these days?
Now, are these real?
Yeah, these are real. Yeah.
On your phone?
Yeah, here's another one. Good morning. Do you have any new plans today?
From who?
Well, it's just random numbers. Here's one that just says hello.
So these are all, what you're describing, these are all potential pig butchering.
These are pig butchering messages. Did you have a rest today? I didn't see you at the meeting. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Let me see what. There's a lot of recruiter type things.
How many of these do you get?
At least one a day, if not more.
Really?
But I know why. I know this. So what? Never really. Once the political messages went away, my number got sold to the pig butchering people. And I'm sure that most of the political texts were scams as well.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I'm sure most of them are. Let me see if I can find another one this quickly. Because I like to miss the meeting. I like to miss the meeting one. What is this? Wow, I can't believe. What is this? No, that's not one. Why did you skip the morning meeting?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's pretty good. A lot of it just hello. And usually it's like, do you want to play tennis? Are we still on for tennis today? Let's get to your next clip.
Okay, pick two.
The way victims are usually contacted is they receive what appears to be a wrong number text.
Yep.
And those have gotten increasingly clever. They're doing anything they can to just get your attention long enough to respond so that they can drop in a picture of usually an attractive young Asian female who will say, "Hi, my name is Jessica. I hope I'm not bothering you." We're finding that people will respond to that and they will start engaging in conversation with a Jessica who over the next 90 days will sell a dream of being with her and her fancy elevated lifestyle. And then what happens over time is they get these victims to invest in cryptocurrency, like the scammer purports that she did. That's how she became wealthy. And our victims will invest a little bit and they will see it. They'll see a false dashboard showing their exponential increase in value. And that will lead them to invest more and more until ultimately they have invested every penny they have. They believe they're rich and that they're going to end up with the girl, only to find out that it was all a facade and they've lost everything.
So here's one. "Hey, we didn't meet for a long time. Where are you live right now?"
Wait, where are you
live? I'm going to answer this one. I'll say, "I live in Austin now. Who's this?" Okay, I'll just hit that. Let's see if we get a response. And then we'll listen to Pig 3 in the meantime.
What do we know about where these scams are coming from and who's behind them?
What we know is that these scams are coming primarily from Southeast Asia. They're being run by primarily Chinese organized crime, although the Yakuza has now gotten involved in Korean organized crime after seeing how lucrative this is. They've built compounds that are akin to small cities, built for the express purpose of fleecing the rest of the world of their money. It's massive and growing.
The target also isn't always the only victim here. The people who are on the other end of the phone or the computer are also, in many cases, victims of human trafficking themselves. How does that play into all of this?
We have literally never seen a world crisis like this. We've got Americans and people all over the world who've lost all their money. And then on the other side, we have human trafficked victims that are forced to do this dirty work. In order to fill these compounds where the dirty work is done, the organized criminals needed to bring in a workforce. And to do that, they constructed websites that look very authentic and they offer up jobs in Southeast Asia. And so people from all over apply for these jobs thinking they're getting a really nice work opportunity. And when they get there, their passports are seized, they're put in buses, and they are moved to these compounds where they are surrounded with men with AK-47s, and they are locked down and forced to do this dirty work 17 hours a day.
Dirty work. So this phone number is no longer in service. That's a bummer. Here's another one. "Hey, long time no see. How are you feeling these days?" "I'm doing great. Who is this?" Let's see if that one works.
So after this, the third clip, there's a big series of discussions of how they beat the crap out of these poor slaves.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on. And then we finish it up with this last clip. But this whole thing is like, this has to be state sponsored at some, even though it's gangs. There's no way that people can do this without some corruption at the state level.
Well, I got a hit. I can see the person is typing back to me.
Let's get to that before we play the last clip.
Well, it started.
Okay, let's play the last clip and then
we'll see if we get an answer. Yeah.
This era is not the time to be making new friends on social media.
And that's the final clip.
Really? Social media is by far the problem is text message. This is the big problem. You're right. There's a lot of companies and organizations, particularly in states where this is not well regulated, and they let anybody into the phone network. You know, it's System 7. That's the whole problem. System 7, once you're in there, you can make up numbers, you can send as many different text messages as you want, and just go on and on and on. That's what it is. You should also probably...
It has to be stopped at that level.
You should also probably
stop listening. You have to give up on this international stuff. Yeah. Let's just cut it off.
Yep. Cut off international text.
Cut off international contact.
Cut it off.
Get a sat phone if you want to talk to someone overseas.
Back to ham radio, people. So I don't know. This person was typing, and now I've got no message. So I don't know.
They probably got hit in the head.
I want to talk about Musk for a second, because he's doing stuff. He's doing stuff out in the world, and it's being noticed by international media. Here's Deutsche Welle.
Well, tech billionaire Elon Musk is planning a live online discussion next week with the candidate for chancellor of the far-right Alternative for Germany party, Alice Weidel. The chat is expected to take place on Musk's platform, X. It is his latest endorsement of the AfD ahead of Germany's general election on February 23rd. Last weekend, Musk caused outrage when he described the far-right party as the country's last spark of hope in an opinion piece in a German newspaper. Political leaders in Germany have accused him of election interference, considering his close relationship with US President-elect Donald Trump.
So that was Deutsche Welle. The BBC went in a little bit deeper on this.
The Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, told a German magazine he's staying cool about Elon Musk's activities. He added it's the will of citizens that counts, not the erratic statements of a billionaire. Elon Musk has previously described him as a fool and recently penned a controversial opinion piece endorsing Alternative für Deutschland, or the AfD. The AfD is a far-right party that's even classed as extremist in certain German states by domestic intelligence. Mr. Musk dismissed such allegations and claimed he'd earned the right to speak out on German politics because of his significant investments in the EU's largest economy. Notably, Mr. Musk's electric car-making brand Tesla has a huge factory in the eastern state of Brandenburg, just outside Berlin. Now, this coming week, Mr. Musk is expected to hold a live online discussion with the AfD's candidate for Chancellor, Alice Weidel. This all comes just weeks ahead of Germany's snap federal election. The vote will take place on February the 23rd, following the collapse of Germany's bickering three-way coalition that comprised of Chancellor Scholz's Social Democrats, the Greens, and the FDP Liberals. The AfD, despite polling second, has little prospect of taking power because other parties won't work with it, while Olaf Scholz's chances of retaining the chancellery have long looked slim. Nevertheless, Germany looks set to be the next electoral testing ground for Elon Musk's apparent willingness to wade in to national politics.
So Elon Musk has also tweeted out, slashed out to King Charles that he should dissolve this parliament, and Nigel Farage should be removed as the head of the Freedom Party. Freedom Party, is that his party? Because
Farage?
Yes, he's all against Farage now.
Well, that's interesting. What brought that about, I wonder.
The rape of Britain, because Farage said something was okay. So Tommy Robinson, who of course brought this to light, I think he's in jail now for 10 years because he's such a dangerous guy.
Yeah, he's in and out of jail.
Very dangerous.
Supposedly.
Guy.
Yeah, yes. Well, I don't know that he's ever been in jail.
I don't know either. Sir Brian of London knows, though. You know, he's the one that said, you know, these Pakistani gangs were raping, you know, up to 250,000 girls up in the north of England from the late 80s into the, maybe into the 2000s.
Yeah, till now.
And so Nigel Farage isn't taking that seriously enough, or, you know, and so what this does is it breeds all kinds of other theories. One of the theories being that just like Elon is now going to ouster, we'll see if it happens, Farage, that eventually he and Peter Thiel and all the J.D. Vance gang, they're all going to turn on Trump and get him kicked out.
Yeah.
I know. It's great.
Oh, brother.
It's great. But why?
Well,
but
Musk
why
is starting to look more.
Why?
Musk is. What?
Why is he doing this? Why? What is he?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was going to say it's starting to look more and more like some sort of that. You know, we say it too often on this show, but this is starting to look like some sort of a psyop. And Musk seems to be representing something. I mean, there's no reason for him to be doing so much at the political stuff as he's doing, unless he's like being run by someone.
But who?
Well, I would have to think that
if we only knew. Yes, if we only knew.
we only knew. But he's definitely out there. He's risking his life. He's causing trouble here and there. And it's entertaining as hell.
Mm.
Some of it doesn't make sense. The Farage thing's one of them. But, you know, who knows? Farage is a fishy character anyway.
Mm.
And Tommy Robinson's a fishy character. Everything is sketchy.
Well, how about the typhoon gangs? We have all the salt typhoon. We've got the flax typhoon, I think, is the latest. This made the news, but I think because of, you know, the cyber trucker in New Orleans, and no one really paid much attention to it, except our man, Ali Velshi, over there at MSNBC.
I want to turn now to a hugely consequential but largely overlooked story that's been unwinding this week in dramatic fashion. China's escalating cyber espionage campaign against the U.S. and its allies. On Friday, the U.S. announced sanctions against China's Integrity Technology Group, a Beijing-based cybersecurity firm, over its alleged links to the hacking group Flax Typhoon, which has been accused of carrying out a litany of cyber attacks on Americans in recent weeks. American officials accused the company of providing the infrastructure that enabled Chinese hackers to launch attacks against U.S. targets. The announcement of the sanctions comes after the U.S. Treasury Department disclosed earlier this week that Flax Typhoon had stolen unclassified documents in what it described as a major incident. Flax Typhoon specifically targeted a highly sensitive office at Treasury, the Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, which administers economic sanctions. It's a key tool in America's national security arsenal. The attack also targeted the Office of Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. OFAC's targeting underscores Beijing's determination to acquire intelligence on its biggest rival, according to officials who spoke to the Washington Post. China's growing cyber espionage operations, which FBI Director Christopher Wray called the most significant cyber espionage campaign in history, largely flew under the radar in 2024. But experts warn that such attacks are likely to increase as Beijing seeks to gain a competitive advantage in technology, economics, and security.
Okay.
What happened to Salt Typhoon?
Well, this is the Flax Typhoon. This is the same typhoon group, only it's a different strain. And then he brings on a Yale senior fellow from the Yale Law University, something.
It would be Yale Law School.
Yale Law School, a cyber crime expert.
I think we're entering a period where cyber attacks are ramping up for sure as the U.S. and China enter a period of uncertainty in their relationship. But what's notable here is the level of sophistication we're seeing by Chinese hackers. You mentioned the dizzying array of Salt Typhoon, Flax Typhoon. We also have Volt Typhoon, which the Chinese malicious actors were pre-positioning critical infrastructure, saying in the event of a conflict, we can shut down power and water systems. Right now, I think we're in a period of potentially significant uncertainty in the relationship, and China's capabilities have certainly improved in ways that are very concerning to U.S. officials.
Yeah, Volt Typhoon you just talked about. Typhoon. This is interesting. When we talk about a major conflict, at the moment we've got a potential trade war with China. What does major conflict mean? Does that mean if China goes into Taiwan and the U.S. decides it's going to stand up for Taiwan, that China has potential ability to disrupt infrastructure in America?
We have to look at cyber attacks as an extension of military power. And in the event of an armed confrontation between the U.S. and Chinese militaries, I think that cyber tools would certainly be on the table. And by showing up in utilities companies that are in places like Guam, the West Coast, what this signals is that in the event of a conflict, those West Coast assets would very much be in play. And cyber is going to work in conjunction with sort of traditional military powers. And so this is something that we have to be sort of very cognizant of.
There you go. So we have Salt, Volt, and Flax Typhoon.
I don't know what to make of any of that.
Okay. I have an update on my pig butchering.
Oh, good.
Okay. So I sent.
You got a note?
Yeah. I said, it's odd. I don't have you my address book. I was baiting a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry. I may have sent you a message to the wrong number. Oh, clearly English.
There we go. That's the wrong number thing.
I hope you don't mind my mistake. So I said, not at all. No prob. And the pig butcher says, thank you for your understanding. I think you are a friendly person. I'm glad to meet you. So, of course, I say, nice to meet you too, LOL. And then the pig butcher comes back. Nice to meet you here. My name is Lena. If you don't mind, may I know your name? My name's John Dvorak. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. You dick.
And we'll have an update on that right after I say, in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the China cyber crime. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Cream, ship, sea, whistling, ground, feet, and the air, subs of the water, the dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls in the troll room, let's get a little count of your trolls and see what's going on. How many do we have? We have 2,498 trolls. That is not bad. Oh, by the way.
No, that's exactly what we should have.
It's 100 more. It's 100 more.
No, no, 2,400 is Thursday.
But it's 2,498.
We have to argue about this every single show.
Because it's 2,498. That's almost 2,500.
Well, I'm within range.
By the way, the pig butcher says, you have a good name, John Dvorak. What do I answer to that?
Why, thank you.
Why, thank you.
Do you have a pick?
No.
Just get moving along.
I don't want to do, I want to see if Lena does that, if she'll get the pick ball rolling. Send nudes. Send them to my P.O. box, baby. Hey, those trolls are hanging out in the troll room, trollroom.io, and I'm sure that people are checking in because they wanted to hear, we provide a public service. The service we provide is we spin you down. Although in this case, I was very proud of most of our producers. They were not buying any of this. Any of it. They identified the six-week cycle.
It was too corny.
It was really too corny.
And it was also distressing in that people did die, no thanks to the botched job that was done by whoever is running this game.
Right. But of course, our government doesn't care. And that was really Tina made a good point about the fog, the weird fog.
Oh, the fog.
The weird fog.
That's already over.
It is. But she said, people have lost all trust in government. And that's why they immediately go into, I'm sure the government's spraying us with something or this, so it's a sad state of affairs, really.
I kind of addressed this in the last newsletter.
Yeah.
I said, if they would actually do, because Biden is the president of the United States and the president sets the stage for everything. They are the social center of things. They are the ones who establish norms. I mean, if it wasn't for Bill Clinton, all these high school girls wouldn't be into giving so many blowjobs because Clinton says not sex. And it made a huge difference in that community. And so by the fact that Biden has really never even given a true press conference in 4 years, and he hides behind, these various press secretaries, the redhead and the one that looks like Sideshow Bob.
Sideshow Bob. Who's Sideshow Bob?
Isn't that Jean Pierre? She looks just like Sideshow Bob.
Who is Sideshow Bob?
It's a Simpsons character.
Oh, I don't even know Sideshow Bob.
But look him up. You'll see the picture of Sideshow Bob when you look it up, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So
Sideshow Bob.
This ludicrous situation that our president has created.
He nailed it. It's the hair. Sideshow Bob. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. I didn't realize that one. Okay,
so,
good.
Very good. Has created this situation, and so nobody trusts the government. They never tell us anything about anything. They don't even try to explain it. They don't have any solid rationales. They give us nothing, and so you end up with this situation. It's out of control.
Yeah, you're right. And that's like the drones. That's why it's so easy to launch anti-gravitic.
Anti-gravitic.
Oh, brother. And those trolls are listening at trollroom.io. They check in for the service that we provide, and we provide that twice a week. at least 3 hours. We're deconstructing the media just for you. We don't sit here and try to jack up the algos. We don't need to scare you with anything because it doesn't work on podcasting. We don't get more people listening. We don't go to the top of the page magically. We're here because you heard about us from somebody else typically. That's why we also really don't do any ads. I mean, why would we ever do an ad if it restricts our speech? Which it literally will do, even if it's just talking about a competing product. So we decided from the get-go we're not going to do that. And this program only works if everybody dives in and produces it with us. That means your clips, your boots on the ground, your ideas, your feedback, your observations, your expertise. All of our producers have we've had a law enforcement FBI person who is on our side and tells us what's going on. We have people in every single area of every industry you can imagine. And if you hear something that is in your field of expertise, it is your obligation to let us know and send us an email.
Yeah, and straighten us out if we're wrong in our analysis.
Oh, please. Yes, it's adam@curry.com, and John's email address is adam@curry.com.
Yep.
And Lena wants to know if I was born in New Jersey. Maybe we can have coffee together. Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'll have to deal with that later.
Oh, no. Jersey. What's the connection there?
Well, Lena's in Boston. Boston, Philippines. Well, then
why would she ask you if you were in Boston?
No, she's in Boston. She says, where do you live? I said, I live in New Jersey. New Jersey is a beautiful place. I will travel there if I have the chance. Maybe we can have coffee together when I get there. Oh, brother. This is a long game. I don't have patience for it.
Yeah, well, like they said in that presentation on PBS, nine months in some cases.
Send nudes.
Just put that in there. Just cut to the chase. Cut to the chase, lady.
I'm not going to do that. I should. But first, we got to thank these trolls and let them know that they can be joined by anybody out there by going to trollroom.io. We do the show live. We stream it live right after the show. We put it together, which means we'll insert that clip that I messed up, and we'll put that in. No one will know the difference except the people who heard it live. And then we get a title, we put the credits together, and then we post it. And if you're using a modern podcast app, you'll get the bat signal. You'll know when we go live, and if you can't listen to it live, within 90 seconds of us posting it, you'll get an alert that the show has been updated, and you can use any of those apps at podcastapps.com. So on the producer tip, one of the ways people support us in our value for value proposition, which is pretty simple, we deliver this to you, no holds barred, no tricks, no subscriptions, no smashing the like button, none of that. You don't have to do any of that. Just listen to the show, and if there's anything of any value, send it back to us. Or if you just want to send value in advance, time, talent, treasure, we'll be thanking people who sent us the treasure portion, which is it's paramount, and it was not a lot today. I'll be honest about that.
No, it was terrible.
I think it was that newsletter.
No, I think it was the last show. People liked the last show, and so they didn't donate. I know. It makes no sense to me either.
But I think people liked the last show. You don't think they
liked
the last
show? That's what I said. I said they liked the last show, so they decided not to donate. They figured we repeat.
Well, this is the top of the game right now. We might as well let him go. Hey, it's a real easy equation.
Well, the other thing is, since we have once in a while, I like to do the bonus clip.
Oh, you have a bonus.
Play clip. The bonus clip. Weather storm coming.
Yes, I can't wait.
Millions of Americans are bracing for a winter storm that will send temperatures plunging and disrupt travel. The National Weather Service forecasts the storm will begin this evening in the Central Plains and then move east and slam into the mid-Atlantic. Heavy snow and whiteout conditions are expected in the Midwest, while freezing rain could lead to power outages across Appalachia.
We're also supposed to get it here in Texas.
People don't donate when they're getting hit by a storm.
That's a good point. When it's cold, like brr, brr. But we keep you warm on this cold, wintry months. And we'll still be there on your phone. We'll still be there on your phone. We will be there. One of the ways people support us is through artwork. We love having fresh artwork on every single episode. We've been doing that since almost the beginning of the show, and people can upload it to noagendaartgenerator.com, another website that was done value for value by Sir Paul Couture. The artwork for episode 1725. Wait, no, 1726. Where am I? Hello. Where's 1726? That's interesting. 1726. Did I not put that one up there?
Oh, that's on noagendashow.net.
Yeah, let me see. 1726. We titled that one The Fog. Ah, yes. We titled it The Fog for obvious reasons. The artwork was a genius piece done by Sir Shug, a.k.a. Faux Diddley. It was the Lone Wolf's EV Terror Club, which consisted of a Lone Wolf, nice Lone Wolf logo in the background.
Yeah, and which you had, yeah, right, with the EV pump in the middle and two EVs. It looks like something that actually exists in real life.
It does. It does. And it's something that we don't think was put together by AI. It had the Cybertruck there on one side. It had the F-150 Lightning on the other side. I would say if we had ads on this show, we would not have chosen that artwork.
Why?
Because it was too early. It was too soon. It's highly offensive. We're mocking death and destruction.
Well, I guess we are marking it a little bit, or Shug was anyway.
Yeah, well, we
great
used it.
Logo though.
Yeah, it was very good.
It'd be a nice patch.
It would be a nice patch. How about you, No Agenda Shop? NoAgendaShop.com. There was some other entrants that we looked at. There were multiple fog Tantanil. I thought I liked her concept of the No Agenda Curry Dvorak just in fog. Compared to the Lone Wolf EV Terror Club, it didn't quite. That was just wasn't there.
Well, the piece that we both thought was terrific
was Mike Riley.
Riley's second version of the No Agenda ISIS flag, upside down version. Absolutely terrific. Except it didn't have Curry Dvorak on there anywhere.
That was problem number one.
But problem number two was we weren't going to use it.
If you don't know. It has the ISIS font and it says live from Gitmo Nation in the little round kind of circle-ish thing and then No Agenda. Then if you post it upside down, it looks kind of like an ISIS flag with ISIS text. But we were pretty convinced people wouldn't see it.
They wouldn't get it.
They wouldn't get it because it says.
Now, we weren't going to use the other one, which was obvious, is the original one before he flipped it upside down.
Yeah.
Because that was just, it's interesting, but not that good.
No.
But flipped upside down, it's dynamite, but not usable. But we wanted to make sure we discussed it so Riley knows that he did good work.
He did good work. And I will say I like Darren O'Neill's life raft, too, because we are the life raft in an ocean of narcissism.
Yeah, I was almost going to use that for the newsletter, but instead I used a different Darren O'Neill piece, which is the one I've always had my eye on, which was the cartoon sick bird with the thermometer in its mouth, which I thought was a cute piece.
And it is a cute piece. No Agenda, artgenerator.com is where you can follow along. You can upload your own artwork and participate in the contest. And of course, you can see all of the other pieces. If you're using the modern podcast app, I use Podcast Guru these days. You can see them in the chapters and you'll see. And if you're driving along, you use CarPlay or Android Auto, it'll change right there in your dashboard. You'll be delighted. And it's dangerous when driving. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. We always thank all of our financial contributors. That's producers who sent us some treasure value in return, $50 and above. And at this point in the show, we want to thank our executive and associate executive producers. The way that works is just like Hollywood, if you pony up the dough, you get a credit. You get a credit big on the screen. In this case, associate executive producer, if you donate $200 or above, and we'll read your note regardless of what it says, although we have to shorten some of them if they're too long. And $300 and above, you get an executive producer credit, and we read your note. Both of those credits are good for your lifetime, and they are real official show business credits. You can use them anywhere credits are accepted and recognized, including IMDb.com and LinkedIn. You can start your own pig butchering scam. Hey, baby. Hey, I'm an executive producer for the No Agenda show. Oh, really? Yeah. Send nudes. So we start off with our first executive.
You know, by the way, I should mention about the pig butchering. They made it sound in the PBS report that it's only men who are susceptible to this.
Ooh, I wonder if
there's plenty of women have been taken for all they're worth.
Do you know this for a fact?
Yeah, because I saw a special on TV with some woman who was moaning and groaning about being taken.
By the way,
Lena, why wouldn't you take the women? I mean, they're just as susceptible to being suckered as men are.
Lena was originally from China, but it's been 6 years since she moved to Boston for work.
Wow. So they make this very elaborate. Well, the pic, as though it's almost believable. Oh, Lena. Yeah,
the pic is coming next. I mean,
the pic better show up pretty soon or you should bail out.
Yeah, well, it's because that's why she mentioned now that she's Asian, because the pic is coming.
Oh, right. So you're not going to go, oh, Asian chick. Yeah. You're going to be ready for it.
Hey, our first executive producer is from Evanston.
Oh, by the way, let's run that pic through the reverse image search when you get it. Oh,
good point. Yeah, good point. Well, I'm focusing on the show right now, so
and then call her out.
Hey, is this you? It's probably some poor slave. I'm not going to call her out. I'm going to see, do you need help? Turn on your location, and I'll send the authorities. Yeah, these people need help. These people need help. It's very sad.
Yeah, they do.
It's sad. Duke Matthew is from Evanston, Illinois. Comes in with $500, a couple of 500s today, which is interesting. Don't get those all the time. And Duke says, in the morning, it's been a while, not overboard, you know. Happy New Year, Duke Matthew. Well, now that's a donation note I can get behind. Thank you.
That's a good one. Yeah, Ronald Cooper comes in from Flanagan, Illinois, the second $500 donation, also from Illinois.
How about that?
He's Sir Techitech.
Well, he's going to be.
He's going to be. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. He's going to get 500 bucks in. It should bring him to knighthood. He says, call me Sir Techitech. Techitech. I don't know what it means. Something to him.
Yes, Techitech.
I'm hoping you can send my message out to No Agenda Nation. I'm at the mercy of Illinois lawmakers taking bogus federal grants for wind energy. I own a fifth-generation family farm and have a company knocking at the door to surround it by windmills, placing one turbine 1,300 feet away from my front door.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a lot of noise.
We have formed a group against this action. We are desperately needing donations due to mounting legal fees. You can find the link to our donation site at... you're going to put a link in
it. It's bit.ly say no to wind.
Bit.ly say no to wind. / say no to wind.
Yes.
No karma needed. Please spell it like Dharma. unless you have the time for your goat out of our frustration. Yeah, we have the time for the goat for 500 bucks. Sure.
Of course.
Sincerely, Ron Cooper. Sir.
Soon to be Sir Techitech. Yes, here we go. Here's your goat karma. Of course you got that.
You've got karma.
Diane Bennett, meanwhile, is apparently from parts unknown and sends us 363.22. I wonder if that's a 333, but maybe not. Happy New Year. Whilst catching up on episodes I missed over Christmas, I was impressed to hear an old classmate of mine show up on 1723. The clips about the German Christmas market incident featured BBC correspondent Anna Foster, who I knew back in the 90s. I've seen Anna on the BBC reporting from the Middle East, and I knew she had done well for herself, but making it onto the No Agenda show is obviously the pinnacle of her career. straight up. Not wishing to be outdone, this was my cue to become executive producer of the best podcast in the universe and, with the approval of the Peerage Committee, gain my damehood at the same time. How come she's not highlighted here? If she's going to be, she should be damed, no? I mean, I'm looking at this.
She doesn't call for it. She wants approval of something or other, which she doesn't need.
Well,
no, and she's not on the list.
No.
And she doesn't have a here, put her on the list. Dame Nation North of the Wall.
I think I should put her on the list because it looks like she's ready to be on the list. Jingle WTC7, Northumberland's finest Lindisfarne Mead and Newcastle Brune Ale for
she's
the round
in
table.
The UK, I'm guessing.
I guess. Northumberland's finest.
She's north of the wall. Who's the Roman emperor that put the wall up there? She's up north of it.
So So she wants Northumberland's finest Lindisfarne mead and Newcastle Bruin ale for the round table. Hey, lads, well, can you get on that? What?
It should be Newcastle Brown, so I don't know.
Oh, you think it's brown?
She's saying it in a brogue.
Bruin.
Bruin ale.
Bruin ale, okay. Howie, the lads. Okay. Diane, soon to be Dame Nation north of the wall, and I'll get that lined up for you, and you're on the list.
WTC said it won't go away.
I can't remember who put that wall there, but it's a big deal. Microchip Nick is up, and he's the first associate executive producer. He's from East Hampton, New Jersey. 233.75. Dear No Agenda, Jingles, Al Sharpton, full Pasta Glock, due to climate change, please de-douche me. That.
You've been de-douched.
And he specifically says, thanks to Adam for answering emails about podcasting. You know, it's funny you should do that. I ask Adam, and he gladly answers. But these people that are, you know, making it, you know, they got the millions of dollars, and they're trying to do this stuff, and they don't know what they're doing at all, and they won't even talk to him.
No. Well, why would they?
It's ludicrous. No, they should be giving him a fat fee. Producers, please check out. Don't you think?
Yeah,
am I wrong?
No. If you can get a fee, I'll split it with you for sure.
I'll be your agent.
Yes.
The Quash Podcast, Quash, as in Quash. Thanks and best, Microchip Nick.
Resist, we much. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortoise in the Race. Then co-author of Hubris. U2 lead singer Bono. Fran Drescher. Sigourney Weaver. Suspect Jahar Sanayev. Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh. The show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
I'm gonna shoot you in the face with my noodle gun. You racist piece of shit. I got my pasta Glock locked and loaded.
Pew, pew. Due to climate change.
Now, there you go. Matthew Martell is next from Boomall, Pennsylvania, 21060. And he says, while I can't serve the No Agenda Nation a delicious cup of coffee or polish up their resumes for their next career moves, I can supply specialty hardware. Visit martellhardware.com. That's M-A-R-T-L-E-L-L hardware.com. Use coupon code TEAMDELULU. Team DeLulu for 10% off your order. Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
Thank you, Pockets. Matthew Martell, martellhardware.com, specialty hardware. If you're looking for hardware, they've got specialty.
Eli, this funny came with 10 cents more than Eli the Coffee Guy, 210.05. Oh, he is 260, so he's more than that. It's 55 cents. Bensonville, Illinois, 20105. The problem with current narratives is that we're lied to so often, nothing is believable.
There you go.
Yet conspiracy theories seem completely plausible due to the same gaslighting. The sheriff's presser on the Cybertruck gave me flashbacks of the previous sheriff's pressers on the Mandalay Bay shooter.
Oh, yeah.
People should go back and listen to the Quality of the No Agenda coverage of that incident. By the way, Sheriff Lombardo went on to become Nevada governor in part due to his management of the Vegas massacre. Coincidence? I don't think so. Jingle. However, there's a narrative you can always believe. There's one narrative you can always believe. Yes. Good coffee makes better life better. Visit GigawattCoffeeRoasters.com. Use the code ITM20 for 20% off your order. And I got my batch. Thank you very much. Stay caffeinated, Eli the Coffee Guy.
Coincidence? I think not.
Thank you, Eli. Hey, because we agreed to it, I get to do Linda Lupatkin, who comes in with $200 from Lakewood, Colorado, associate executive producer, and I shall do my best to do a good read. And she says, changing the ad read. Let's have a meeting. Jobs K. For a resume that gets results, visit Inge. I'm going to edit that out. For a resume that gets results, visit...
Ow!
For a resume that gets results, visit ImageMakersInc.com for all your resumes and job search needs. That's ImageMakersInc with a K, and work with Linda Liu, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Karma.
Not easy. I got to hand it to you, John. It's not an easy one to read.
Leslie, meanwhile, in Loxahatchee, Florida, comes in with $200 and has a jingle request of Grand Baby Making Karma. We've got that for you. And All Hell's Gonna Break Loose. ITM, John and Adam, thrilled to be presenting this donation as the raffle winner on behalf of our Florida producer group from our December axe throwing meetup. We have the best meetups ever. Make sure to check it out, our upcoming meetups in the Miami, Orlando, Tampa, and Jacksonville, and more. You go to noagendameetups.com. I want to thank you for your courage and for your humor as you deconstruct and inform. You have helped me and my family stay calm over these last few years. Four more years, at least. I would love Grand Baby Making Karma, and All Hell's Gonna Break Loose, and you are gonna need a Bitcoin. Happy New Year's to you both. Future Dame Equanimous, I think, in training, a.k.a. Leslie.
You've got... Karma.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
And our final associate executive producer with $200 is Jason Wyatt from Calhoun, Georgia. Says in the morning, good slaves of Gitmo Nation. This is Jason from Presto Trust, the platform that helps businesses get more positive reviews and improve their online reputation. No jingles needed, just a special offer for the No Agenda family. We could use some of this. He should do that to us, for our stuff. If you want, get us some good reviews. If you want more good reviews and fewer bad ones for your business, go to PrestoTrust.com and use code ITM at checkout for a steep discount. Ooh. Keep up the great deconstruction. Thanks for keeping us sane, says Jason in Jacksonville, Florida. Jason, get us some good reviews.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah, we want some good reviews, and we'll gladly endorse your product, your service, if we can see some good reviews.
Yeah.
And that
can't go wrong.
That concludes our list of executive and associate executive producers for episode 1727 of the No Agenda Show. We are very appreciative of that. Anybody can become an executive or associate executive producer. Go to noagendadonations.com. We will be thanking anyone who came in $50 and above at noagendadonations.com in our second segment. And, of course, we always appreciate those sustaining donations, any amount, any frequency. You can set it up yourself. It's completely open to you. It is value for value. Go to noagendadonations.com. And thank you to our executive and associate executive producers.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Hot pockets.
Shut up, Steve.
Yes.
No, I was going to say, you want to, I would like to go through the U.S. Steel buyout so we can get keep people apprised.
You said this is a big deal, huh?
Well, I think it's a big deal because they should let them buy them out, because the Nippon Steel is not a bad company. They're Japanese. They're fighting with the Chinese the way we are, and the Chinese are going to beat the crap out of us with steel if we don't do something.
Now, is this something that Trump would, seeing as Joe Biden blocked it?
No, Trump said, it's not American. He made some fuss about it, so Biden made a fuss about it, and it was all because Pennsylvania is the headquarters where the big steel mills are, and they didn't want to annoy any of the workers, but the workers are all for it.
Really?
Well, why wouldn't they be? It's just a better company than the operation being run currently is basically going out of business. Let's play U.S. Steel buyout one.
U.S. Steel is an iconic American brand founded by legendary business leaders Andrew Carnegie and J.P. Morgan in 1901. Oh. Its steel holds up the Empire State Building and San Francisco Bay Bridge, and it helped build the American ships, tanks, and aircraft that won World War II. In December 2023, Nippon Steel announced it would buy U.S. Steel for more than $14 billion and has recently promised to invest $1 billion into U.S. steel mills. But during the presidential campaign, both candidates opposed the deal. A senior administration official told me today that the committee that reviews foreign investments in the U.S. split, with the Treasury, Defense, and State Departments in favor of the deal, but the U.S. Trade Representative opposed, sending the decision to the White House, leading to today's decision. For perspective on that decision, we turn to David Wessel, Senior Fellow in Economic Studies at the Brookings Institution, and Sheila Smith, Fellow for Asia-Pacific Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations.
There it is.
Thanks very much to both of you. Welcome back to the NewsHour. David Wessel, let me start with you. As I just said, the committee that reviews investments in the United States, known as CFIUS, split between the national security agencies saying that they approved the deal and the U.S. Trade Representative saying that it opposed this deal. What does that say about today's decision?
Well, it's pretty striking because the only power the president had to block this deal was to say it was a threat to national security. But because the committee split, he essentially overrode the national security apparatus and the Treasury. Wow. What it says to me is this is a largely political decision. Both President Trump and President Biden have stressed the importance of making it in America. Both of them were courting the Steelworkers Union in Pennsylvania. And so this seems to me largely a decision made on political grounds, not economic grounds.
Well, there's no election. Who cares?
Well, at this point, well, he doesn't know what he's doing.
He's not doing any of this.
No, somebody else is.
Yeah. Someone who loves China.
I'm not sure who the U.S. trade, who's the one person, this trade representative. What is it? Why do they have more power than all the intel agencies? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't know.
I think this is going to end up going through, but we'll see. Part two.
After all, the president said that a domestically owned and operated steel industry is important to national security, but what Nippon Steel was saying is we're still going to make it in the United States. The owners will just be Japanese, which last time I checked was an ally of the United States, not an adversary.
So Sheila Smith, there has been no official Japanese response to this announcement, but what were the Japanese expecting leading up to this response?
Well, Nick, I think this is a drama that has been unfolding, as you said, for over a year. And initially, I think the Japanese government in particular was quite quiet. They didn't want to get into the fray, and they understand that it was a presidential election year. But I think as we got closer to the end of last year, in the last couple of weeks, I think there was an effort to really speak out. Prime Minister Ishiba said that he hoped that this would go through. This is in the interest of both countries. The vice minister of the Ministry of External Trade in industry was a little bit more pointed and said this will affect future Japanese companies who are thinking about investing in the United States. So I think the politics clearly was on the minds of most Japanese observers. I think it's also important to recognize that many Americans don't recognize just how vital foreign direct investment is to the United States, not just from Japan, but from our European friends as well. Japan is one of the top countries for inbound foreign direct investment. In fact, it was, I think, in 2023, about $783 billion. And so this inward foreign direct investment is largely in the manufacturing sector, and so is very helpful to the American economy.
I think we should sell it to the Japanese, but only if they pay for it in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So we can put that in the Bitcoin reserve.
I don't think they're going to want to pay for it in Bitcoin.
Dad, they got some.
And the thing is, you know, their yen is so under, just like in the tank.
Yeah.
That they're really, whatever they pay for it is from their perspective, it's got to be a lot more. It's like 50% more than they would have normally paid for it if the yen was strong. It's not. I don't see why we don't say, yeah. We know we have had nothing but, the United States has had nothing but good luck with Japanese investments.
What, name some other ones?
Well, when they bought Rockefeller Center, spent all that money on Rockefeller Center, and then because of the downturn in the climate, they just basically walked away from the deal and left all that money on the table, and we ended up scarfing it up.
Oh.
All the investments they made in Hawaii that they lost their asses on, they lose their asses at to benefit us. I don't see what the problem is.
I'm not making a problem.
Well, the Biden administration is. I think Trump will.
You think he'll keep the deal going?
Well, I think it's going to be based on whether the workers want it or not, and I think they do. So I think clip three indicates that.
And what's ironic about this is that a combined Nippon-U.S. Steel would have been a formidable competitor to the big Chinese steel makers, and those are the ones that have been the target of so much animosity, both from U.S. steel makers and U.S. policymakers.
Sheila Smith, of course, that leads us to the U.S. strategy on China, which has been based largely on creating alliances, enhancing alliances, not only between Washington and East Asian countries, including Japan, but between East Asian countries from Japan and South Korea all the way down to Australia and the Philippines. And a senior administration official who works on that strategy told me today, quote, "I am quite troubled by this decision." Do you believe this decision challenges the U.S. strategy in Asia?
I think it challenges U.S. strategy writ large, but particularly in the Indo-Pacific, where we're watching China really exert its influence across maritime Asia, but also really sort of engage in far more extensive economic coercion against our friends and allies in the region as well. So I think, you know, there's a tension here, Nick. I think it's important to see in this deal, the specifics of the deal aside, this is a time when the United States is asking its allies, partners, and friends to do more to enhance the competitiveness of those of countries that are competing with China. This larger strategic competition will define the last part of our century.
Okay.
Well, keep people up. It's a news item.
Yes. Well, since we're doing foreign policy, I have some Greenland clips.
Good. I'd like to hear some Greenland clips.
Yes. By the way, Lena is 34 and she's single. And she is just curious if I'm single or married and sent me a smiley emoji with a tongue hanging out.
Well, she's taking longer to send a pic.
I know. So I said a divorced and still looking. Oh,
here's what it is. Let me be on the other side of this. So they're looking you over as a potential pig.
Yes.
And they want to get as much details as so they can give a customized picture of someone they think you would probably go for.
Yes. Well, she's sorry to hear about my divorce.
Oh, you got divorced.
I'm 47 and divorced in this game. So Jason Chaffetz was sitting in for Maria on the Fox Business News.
Yeah, Chaffetz is the C team guy.
It's the vacation week. And
everybody's not working.
No, everybody's not working. That's correct. There's your English. And he interviewed a former ambassador. Robert O'Brien, who was a Trump national security advisor, about Greenland.
President Trump's also talking actively about Greenland. What's the latest there?
Well, the latest is Greenland is a highway from the Arctic all the way to North America to the United States. It's strategically very important to the Arctic, which is going to be the critical battleground of the future, because as the climate gets warmer, the Arctic is going to be a pathway that maybe even cuts down on the usage of the Panama Canal. And the Russians and Chinese are all over the Arctic. Now, the Kingdom of Denmark owns Greenland. And they've got an obligation to defend Greenland. And so President Trump said, if you don't defend Greenland, we'll buy it and we'll defend it. But we're not going to defend it for free and let you, and not develop Greenland and not extract the minerals and oil and resources of Greenland. And while we defend it, Denmark gets rich and the king of Denmark, becomes even wealthier.
Okay. So
that was the most lame analysis I've heard so far.
Well, that's the pitch. There's a little more here.
Denmark is now on the front lines of the war against Russia and China. They're like the Baltic states. They're like Poland.
What?
Because of their vast territory in Greenland. And so they've got to defend Greenland. And if they can't defend it, we're going to have to. And we're not going to do it for free. So the Danes can either put the frigate that's necessary there. They can put the air wings. They can put the missiles in Greenland. And they can put the infantry there that they need to defend the country.
Or sell out to us. And I picked
Wait a minute. So they're creating a false scenario.
Yes.
As if China and Russia want to get Greenland, so they'll take it over if they have to. When did this idea come into play? Never.
Well, the prime minister of Greenland, Mute Egd.
He's just a dick, that guy.
Well, he says he's now calling for independence from Denmark.
Oh, that's a winner.
and he's looking for investments, and this is a very short clip. He was literally standing next to Ursula, and I'm sure Ursula picked up the pneumonia from him, and she's standing next to him probably because she doesn't, you know, we're not going to let Trump buy you. Come talk to us, you know, you should be one of our guys.
Here in Greenland, we need to have some growth. We need to have some economic growth and diversify our economy. And of course, we welcome our strong partners, like-minded nations as first. But if they don't invest, there's a lot of companies who also want to invest in this country.
It sounds to me like he's saying, well, you know, the Russians want to invest, the Chinese want to invest. So, you know, like, I think he's playing the game. That to me spelled out, okay, we're open for conversation here.
It's not his business. It's Denmark's business. Who's this guy kidding?
He says he wants independence.
This is like Gavin Newsom all of a sudden starting to push. You know, we can do what we want. We can maybe let the Russians run California.
Oh, please. I mean, what's he kidding? Oh, please. Could Russia buy California? That would be great. California, Huberales, that would be great. Put up a wall. Block everything off. That would be great. I do have that same ambassador about Panama, if you want to hear.
The same guy?
Same guy. Yeah.
The guy from Greenland?
No, the ambassador. The
ambassador dipshit that was
yeah,
okay.
That guy. Yeah. So he explains what the real problem is that Trump has with the Panama Canal.
I also want to ask you about China's role in the Panama Canal, because almost seemingly out of nowhere, you've got Donald Trump talking about the Panama Canal. I didn't see many stories written about that last year. Why the sudden urgency in taking on the Panama Canal?
Well, Jason, as you know, the Panama Canal is one of the engineering achievements of the last millennia.
By the way, stop. I did see this guy. I don't know if I saw this particular, but he's been floating around. The guy sounds plastered.
Yeah, a little bit.
He slurs his words. Yeah, you know,
a little bit.
The Panama Canal. I think there's some places there you can go there if you want.
Chinese.
Well, Jason, as you know, the Panama Canal is one of the engineering achievements of the last millennia. And
by the way, that's what you do as ambassador. You don't actually do any work as ambassador, do you?
You drink a lot. You have a lot of parties.
By the way, television tip: The Diplomat. Have you seen the series, The Diplomat?
No.
It's with Carrie. What's her name? She was in The Americans. Diplomat.
Well, give us the background. What's the story about?
Kerry Russell. She's a diplomat, U.S. diplomat, and they're courting her to be the vice president. It's very modern. So, it's right after the Afghanistan pullout, and they've got an old coot for president who's supposed to be Biden, I guess. But he has a vice president who's female, and she's about to be kicked off out of the White House because her husband has some financial scandal. And they're looking for someone. She's on the short list, but it's a try her out. They make her ambassador to London, and the story unfolds from there. And it's not just drinking that she does. She's involved in very heavy diplomacy, but it's a very good series.
I've been watching The Agency.
Yes, that's Clooney's spy show, right?
Yeah, it's, I couldn't get Mimi to watch it because she watched one episode and said it was any slow. I have to agree. I mean, I still watch it, but it's too slow.
Slow.
It's film too
guys.
Slow.
Film guys doing television. It's never a good idea.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. All right. Back to the Panama Canal bit.
Well, Jason, as you know, the Panama Canal is one of the engineering achievements of the last millennia. And we built it, we paid for it, and we operated it for many years. And then, in a tremendous act of generosity, it was probably foolish. Jimmy Carter gave the canal back to the Panamanians, but it wasn't just a free gift. There are conditions that the canal remain neutral. And so what the Panamanians have done, and generally we love the Panamanians, they're good people, they're friends of America, but they gave the ports on both ends of the canal to the Chinese. And even the New York Times is saying, you know, which has been an apologist for China for years, is saying that the Chinese are committing espionage, or they could shut down the canal without military efforts, just using these Hong Kong companies that control the canal. And then on top of that, they're raising the prices on American shipping. So 75% of the commerce that goes to the canal ends up at American ports or departs from American ports. And they're ripping us off. And so the idea that they've given the canal to China, basically, in essence, and are charging us high prices, and the Chinese are taking that and using that money to build their own military up, that doesn't work for America anymore.
Yeah.
Is that what that's it is? It's the ports on both sides. That's the argument.
Yeah, there was a big stink when that happened. If it was years ago when the Chinese
The Panamanians are mad. They are really mad at Trump. They're
well, that's what we're
mad.
Told.
Happened. Yeah, well, Sir Mark.
Well, let's find out. Do we have anybody?
Yes,
in Panama?
Yes, we have Sir Mark Hall. He's
Mark Hall doesn't live in Panama.
He was born in Panama, has an apartment in Panama, has business in Panama, travels to Panama. He has boots. He gets me ivermectin from Panama. He has boots on the ground in Panama. He says, and he's actually kind of mad. He's like, why is Trump doing this? This will drive us right into the arms of China, the CCP, like Peru, whatever he said. Yeah, they're mad. Boots on the ground. The Panamanians are mad that Trump said this. They don't like it.
Well, I think this needs more exploration on our part.
Well, okay. I will forward you the emails. He has a lot of emails, and he's mad too. He doesn't like it. He says, this is what got us into trouble the first time there.
What was the first time?
I don't know. It was Nicaragua. Iran-Contra, stuff like that. There's still some bad blood. They didn't like how we did all that.
Well, we do what we do.
Yes, this is the problem. People have realized we do what we do. Exactly. To wind this up, I have two clips from the BBC.
By the way, this may just be Trump negotiating price.
No, I think so. I think it's all negotiating price. All of it. That's what he does. He's very quiet these days. Don't you think he's kind of quiet? You know?
He has Musk take the heat.
Yeah, right. 2025 ushers in a new era, a new generation. Are you familiar with the new generation?
No.
Generation Beta. Anyone born in the year 2025 will become Generation Beta.
No, that's going to be the marker for the new after Alpha?
Yes, after Alpha.
So is it Beta or Beta Cuck?
It's Beta.
Generation Beta are people born between 2025 British. And 2039. So babies born from the 1st of January this year are the first of the Gen Bs. By 2035, they will make up 16% of the global population. And most of the members of this generation are actually expected to live well into the 22nd century as well.
I was going to say that the first generation that will belong to the next century, I guess they're going to have a life pretty much dominated by AI. We would, from our vantage point now, you would think, anyway.
Yeah, especially now, with like kind of technology such as artificial intelligence is quickly developing right now. So in the next few decades, it's only going to further advance and they'll be growing up with that technology as well. It'll be similar to kind of how Gen Alpha would dub the iPad kids due to how that technology had an impact on their childhoods. And it'll be interesting to see that relationship develop in the decades to come.
So we've got Gen Beta now taking over. Yes. From Gen Alpha. I'm Gen X myself. I was born in 1973. I suspect you're a millennial. I'm guessing I'm going to put money on you being a millennial.
I'll take that as a compliment. I'm Gen Z.
Okay.
Well, I thought that was interesting. I'm Gen Z, but I'll take millennial as a compliment. Sounds like the Gen Zers aren't that happy about being Gen Z. We have another clip.
And what are the sort of, does it mean anything, I suppose, is what I'm going to say. The people are born, in similar periods, going to have different experiences of life, I suppose. What else do we take from these labels?
I guess with kind of like technology nowadays, especially like Gen Z and Gen Alpha, and obviously with Gen Beta, social media plays such a huge aspect in connecting with people. So I think in terms of the generations, when you look at the differences in in like growing up, that it, that's had a huge impact on how we communicate with people and their kind of experiences in society.
Yeah, and I guess in the end it's a useful label, isn't it? The cutoff date is a bit arbitrary, but it's a useful label to describe who we're talking about without needing to give the date of birth out.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't want to give your age away, it's always a good indicator.
What's been the reaction online to the name Gen Beta? Do people like that?
So overall, there's been a lot of reaction on social media. I think with this new generation, it makes us all reflect on where we are in life, like coming to terms with the fact that we're all getting older and there's like a new generation of youngsters. And I think Gen Z have taken it particularly hard, with some of them saying they're officially like the new millennials. And then there's kind of like references to like the 2024 horror film, The Substance, which kind of tackles the topic of aging. And then you have like people making fun of the name kind of Gen Beta due to like the negative connotations of the word beta, which is a slang term for someone who's kind of perceived to be weak, mild-mannered, passive, kind of the opposite of alpha. Weak. So people have been joking that like Gen Beta are going to have these characteristics. Some people were joking about how people were rushing to have babies before 2025, so their children were Gen Alpha and not Gen Beta.
You know what I find kind of semi-dis... You know, I used to write for PC Magazine UK, and so I spent like for a decade. I was there a couple of times a year. And what concerns me about this particular report is they always used, you know, instead of we say beta, so they're a beta tester, and they'd always say beta.
Beta, yes.
But then they'd also say Zed. Mm-hmm. They never said Z.
No.
Oh. So why are they saying Z in that report? Why is it Generation Zed?
That's a very good point. I think we should take this up with the embassy.
I think so, too.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab. Yeah, on No Agenda.
Got a couple of meetup reports on the way and a great promo from the Reiki Princess. Ah, those Florida guys, man, their meetups, they are fantastic. Also, a knight and a dame, and we have one, count on one whole birthday, so this is going to go pretty quick. And obviously, we have John's tip of the day coming up. You do not want to miss that. But first, John is going to help us thank everybody who supported the show, $50 and above, name and location.
Yeah, short list.
Very.
Starting with Dame Rita, our buddy in Sparks, Nevada. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's a great donation. Anonymous, $104.29. John Robinet, $100. Anonymous in Western Springs, Illinois, $100. Brian Mickey in Prague, Oklahoma, $100. And he's got the birthday. Call it the Princess of Prague. I think she's on the birthday list.
Yes, that's the one.
Pete Federici in Bothell, Washington, 8.85, which is boobs 8085. Somehow it's boobs. I don't know how. Baroness Amy in Jefferson, Wisconsin, 8008. Now that's a boob donation.
It is a boobie.
The number at Whataburger was 33, so I had to donate. Whataburger. Kevin McLaughlin, there he is, Archduke of Luna, lover of American booze, 8008, and also Sir Boober in Nevada, Iowa, 8008, and Aaron Weiberg in Roberts, Wisconsin, 8008. So we have a lot of boobs today. Concrete Logic Podcast, 5644, parts unknown, hashtag keep it concrete.
There you go.
Franklin Monterosa in Dodge City, Kansas, 5525. Brian Furley, 5510. Heather Harper in Lubbock, 5333. Michael Gates, parts unknown, 5280. Roger Kesey in Holland, Michigan, 5272. Eric Hoff in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, 5272. Alex Saul in Shaker Heights, Ohio, 5167, and we're already in the 50s. We're almost done. There's not too many people today that helped us out. We'll start with the name and locations. Michael Chauvin, PLC in Saginaw. James Sharameta in Napanock, New York. Chris Conacher, Anchorage. Alex Zavala, Kylie, Texas.
That's Sir Alex in Kyle, Texas.
Not Kylie?
No, it's Kyle Texas. I think he's from the NICU Dads podcast.
Walker Phillips in San Rafael, California. And last on the short list is Michael Neumann in Georgetown, Texas. And he says the newsletter did it. Go podcasting.
The newsletter got one donation. Good work.
Yep.
Good work. Looks like it. There it is. Thank you all so much for supporting us. We'd love to see more support for the next show. It's not like we shorten the show or anything. We don't do that. No, we will bring you more, of course, on Thursday. And we want to thank everybody who supported us today, including our executive and associate executive producers, who we thanked earlier. Go to noagendadonations.com. Support the show. You can always set up a recurring donation. Any amount, any free. Frequency. It's all up to you. Whatever value you get from the show, send it back to us. NoAgendaDonations.com. And as promised, a very short one. Brian wishes Eri Kiragi, the Princess of Prague, a very happy birthday. She celebrated on the 31st. So we'll join in and say happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. We have one dame, one knight, and a sword for both. Are you ready? Do you have a blade? You got something up there? Let's draw that thing out. Yes.
I have the blade.
Shoo, that's the blade, all right. Diane Bennett and Ron Cooper, both of you, please step up on the podium. You are about to be inaugurated into that very exclusive club of the No Agenda Knights and Dames. Very proud to pronounce the KB as Dame Nation North of the Wall and Sir Techie Tech. And for you, we have at the round table Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, along with that Northumberland's finest Lindisfarne Mead and Newcastle Brown Ale. Along with that diet soda and video games, we got Harlots and Haldol. If that isn't enough, we've got organic macaroni and plasticizers. We got cowgirls and coffin varnish, vodka, vanilla, bong hits of bourbon, sparkly cider, escorts, ginger ale, and gerbils. And, of course, there's always the mutton and meat. Everyone always sees the glom on towards the mutton and meat. We're glad that you are now a knight and a dame of the No Agenda Roundtable. And to commemorate that, you get a ring. If you go to noagendarings.com, you can see that ring. Anybody can go there and see the ring. But only you two can give us your ring size. There's a ring sizing handy guide there on the website. And send us your address, and we'll get it off to you, along with the wax, which you can use that signet ring for to seal your important correspondence. And, a certificate of authenticity, as we always do. And welcome to the roundtable, our brand new knight and dame.
No Agenda meetups.
Couple of facts about these No Agenda meetups. Fact is that connection is protection. So when you go to a meetup, you will make connections that will protect you, and they'll keep you stable, because when you're stable, it makes you able. No, yes. What?
I was just going to say the same.
You're going to say what?
If you're stable, it makes you able.
Oh, you interrupted the flow, bro. Yeah. You interrupted the flow, bro. If you are stable, it makes you able. Exactly.
Listen, able to do what?
Listen to these very stable people at the Mutton and Mead meetup.
Colorado Springs, Mutton and Meetup Report.
Hey, this is Dan, the Mead guy at the meetup, having a great time, but I got one question. John, I sent mead to your house. Did you get it?
This is Clayton, the host. Got lots of great people, some good lamb, aka mutton roast, and yeah, nice talkers don't quit.
This is M. Andrew Jones, lone wolf of the Rocky Mountains. Oh!
This is Sir Robert, Knight of the Seven Villages. ITM, everybody, this is a great meetup.
This is Colin. The fog has rolled in, and I'm feeling smart all of a sudden. I don't know why. In the morning.
This is Tom. In the morning, Antelope Ridge Meadery. My name is Brandon. Thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it. Come check us out at 3355 North Academy here in Colorado Springs.
33. In the morning, Rocky Mountain Milk Maiden.
Here's the spook.
Cousin Vito, drove through the fog, can't breathe. Out.
Okay. The Sonoma Wino Country Meetup Report.
This is Sir Recalcitrant Crazy Steve II here at the Sonoma Wino Country Meetup 6.0. And we're all convinced that the six-week cycle is not only for people that menstruate.
This is a dude named Ben, Duke of San Francisco. I'm educating everyone on the anti-gravitic Antarctica Nazi UFO drone technology. Woohoo!
Sir Montauk here. Whitney Cummings did not kill herself.
JDAM, it's my first meetup.
It's good to be here representing Lake County.
Captain Luke, Baron of Sonoma, and I'm here learning about Bitcoin.
Sir Zulbat of Windsor here. And if you don't have a meetup in your area, you should make one because they are awesome. This is my second meetup.
It's Golf Winch of Rohnert Park, California. Kind of a douchebag still, but I'm working on it.
In the morning!
In the morning to you all, and here's what's coming up on Monday, the happy anniversary meetup. What is the anniversary for? We don't know. 7 o'clock at March 1st Brewing in Cincinnati, Ohio. In January, the 11th, Eagle, Idaho, Los Angeles, California, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Indianapolis, Indiana. On the 12th, Keene, New Hampshire, South Slocan, British Columbia. On the 16th, Charlotte, North Carolina. The 17th, the Tri-Cities, Washington. On the 17th, hello, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Acasuso, Provincia de Buenos Aires, Argentina. I will be looking forward to a meetup report from you guys. On the 18th, Bedford, Texas, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Columbus, Ohio, Aventura, Florida. On the 19th, and also on the 19th, Charlotte, North Carolina. The 22nd, Rockville, Maryland. And we have a promo for the No Agenda meetup in Miami for January. Hello, Ricky Princess.
This one goes out to all the knights and dames out there. And you pigs in human clothing. That's right, you slaves. I want you to meet me in Miami for our January meetup, where it's gonna be so hot. But only if you come on Sunday the 23rd and show me your big donation. Can't make it to Miami? I'll be in Orlando in February. Getting flexible with Danielison. She puts us in all types of naughty positions. Hopefully, she won't go too rough on us. Unless you're into that kind of thing. Then we can make it like a party.
Hey, aren't you glad you stayed for the meetup report? Well done. Well produced.
Yeah,
I love it.
Good.
That was good. More like that, please. Hey, go to noagendameetups.com.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you won't be. Triggered on hell to lame. You want to be where everybody feels the same.
I am so lame. How lame are you? I am so lame that I only have one ISO.
This has been the case for the last four shows.
It's so bad that it's an ISO from this show.
When I was a kid.
There you go. That's my ISO.
Okay.
That was bad. Yeah, good. I'm glad.
I have two.
Good. Well, one of them's going to win.
One. The first one is like the show.
Well, I like the show.
That's good. Huh? I'm not going to complain about that one.
And then pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good.
Let me hear the other one.
Well, I like the show.
I think I like the show is obviously the winner.
Okay.
Now, you agree? Let me ask.
Yeah, I like them both.
Let me ask.
The other one's a little muddy.
Let me see if. Oh, Lena says, you seem very busy, John Dvorak. Yeah, I'm doing a show. Come on, Lena, give me a break. Hey, everybody, it's that time. Everyone's waiting for John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB.
And sometimes Adam.
Created by Dana. This is a screwy one. Yeah, I got this as a gift.
You stepped on the created by Dana Brunetti. You stepped on his credit.
You know, it's a run over. He can ask for a make good.
Yeah, by
Dana Brunetti. So I have I got this for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a product called the Universal Dust Cleaning Gel, and it's spelled Pulidicky. Pulidicky.
Oh, I have this product.
Pulidicky.
Yes, I have this product. This is an outstanding product.
Made in China, of all places.
Of course.
It's some sort of weird goo. And what I would recommend people, let me spell it for you. Pulidicky. And which is kind of a joke name. And there's videos on the YouTube about it and showing you how to use it because you have to know how to use it. It's a jar of goo.
Mine is called Ticarve, TICARVE. I happen to have it here.
Is it a jar of goo?
Yeah, dust cleaning gel. It's a jar of goo. It's a very cool product.
Well, this is the same, probably exactly yes, the same it manufacturer.
It is, yes.
Pula Dicky.
What color is your Pula Dicky?
My Pula Dicky is blue.
Mine is blue as well.
Yeah, it's the same stuff.
Same stuff, yep.
You can get it at Amazon, but yeah, go look it up and see how it's used. Because use it, and you'd push this goo onto your keyboard, and it cleans all the gunk out of your keyboard. It does a pretty good job.
Not just your keyboard. It's fantastic on your car dashboard.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what it says.
You know how? Yeah, so you have all that dust that's in the little crevices of your dashboard, and I like my car clean.
Yeah, you would. You're OCD.
Yeah, I would. I'm OCD. What did you pay for this product?
I got it as a gift for Christmas. I don't know what it costs.
Wow, those Dvoraks are cheap. Happy Christmas, Dad.
It was the main gift that the whole family did. They put it together and give me this product.
Everybody chipped in.
They all chipped in.
Pula Dicky, yes, that is today's tip of the day from John C. Dvorak.
Great advice for you and me. Just a tip with JCD. And sometimes
I got it.
Created by Dana Burnett.
I got to talk to Mimi, man. They got to give you better gifts. That's bogus. That's just bogus. Oh, boy. Hey, we got some fun end-of-show meetups. I had nothing new, so these are all redos, but I have done a little bit of extra sweetening here and there, particularly the one by Sir Chris Wilson. We have Eric Colburn and Sir Bill Hudek, who have not heard from in a long time. I wonder if he's overboard or still producing. We'd love those end-of-show mixes, so send them to me, adamatcurry.com. Coming up next on the stream, noagendastream.com, noagenda.stream, trollroom.io, and the modern podcast apps, we have Bowl After Bowl, Bowl After Bowls, Bowls with Buds, featuring Hazard 149, the developer of No Strudel, and Stephen B., developer of many Podcasting 2.0 products, and he's working on some cool stuff, so stay tuned for that. And I am coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in Fredericksburg, where we're still worried about the mist. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're worried about the Graviton machine, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you on Thursday. Please join us for more media deconstruction. And remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Oh, my God! All right. Yeah!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 car train.
Ooh!
And there's the world.
Calm down.
Woo! Listen to that horn!
Pop bottles in the car. Crystal, you're a dog, Perry, you're a dog. Pop bottles in the car. If you're gonna spray, get some cooked.
They're eating the dogs. Bottles back, give him a whack. Cook him up to make a snack. Marinate him through and through. Then throw him on the barbecue. Cooking the dog. I'm just cooking the dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to cook the dog. Grabbed hold of my neighbor's pen. Gotta be the best recipe yet. Thinly sliced, flesh just seared. Just like they do in the north of Korea. Cooking the dog. I'm just cooking the dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to cook the dog. And you may think that this is strange. Eat our pets for climate change. Save the planet, feed the poor. Sweet potato fries.
a slice of Al Gore cooking the dog. Yes, I'm cooking the dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to cook the dog. Hey, come over here, Butch. We got something for ya.
Tell you what,
right?
Yeah, well, I'm all in.
Dinner at my place.
They're eating the dogs.
The best podcast in the universe.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Pretty darn good.